about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, can somebody play something with a beat, please?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What's up, party people? Live on Sunset Boulevard at the Arclight Cinerama Dome for Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates, the world red carpet premiere. I was in the bar scene, but my scene happened to hit the cutting room floor. Well, what's with that, Jake?
We saw you. We did not like what you were doing. We didn't like what you were up to, and I'm sorry, just to be very honest, you were not working for us.
You need to quit this job and find something that you're halfway decent at.
Pokemon rap. This is the Pokemon rap. I like Pokemon, you like the Pokemon. Rap about Pokemon because we like it. We all are a community. We are a community that likes the Pokemon, and I'm just glad that I'm one of you.
And now,
we both know they're weak.
I don't think that.
Yes, you do.
I do sometimes, yeah.
Our feature presentation.
The Pokemon rap is pretty good.
I never noticed pretty the good. End. He just goes,
That's funny.
Isn't that how everything good ends?
Mostly.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 14th of July.
Happy Bastille Day, you guys.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes.
Bastille Day.
Can't wait to celebrate.
Celebrate
right.
that.
Some sourdough.
Some steel. I'm not sure. Hey, Kevin, you hate all accomplished people. Anyone who does anything with his life, you feel bad because you think they reflect poorly on you.
Well, I think the younger they are, the worse. Mm-hmm. You know, when 12-year-olds pass you in right. accomplishments, mm-hmm. then it's a little annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it recently came up because we were talking about that kid who swam to Alcatraz and back, and you said, screw him.
F him, right.
How do you feel about old people who are accomplishing things? Do they bother you as much? Or do you allow
on what,
them allow
accomplishing
them some room?
Things? Define things. What did this old person do?
This is a 94-year-old in Evansville, Indiana, who has just been awarded his 6th-degree black belt.
Oh.
How do you feel about him?
I feel like he probably got his black belt online like Chip.
How dare you?
Well, let's go to the news and let's meet the man. He is Harlan Vanover.
I started doing taekwondo when I was 59.
Okay. I love him already.
I love him already. By the way, who starts doing taekwondo
Harlan.
At 59?
Harlan.
I love him.
I mean, I guess somebody who goes, wow, I'm not getting any younger. I need to stay in shape. I need to keep moving. I don't want to die young. So, yeah, this is what he decided to do.
I started doing taekwondo when I was 59.
From his karate kicks to his wood-breaking punches.
So move straight.
Dr. Harlan Vanover is also breaking records.
People call him a superhero.
Grandmaster said, you passed, and that was what I wanted to hear.
Vanover is now one of about 200 people to achieve the honor of a 6th-degree black belt.
Now, that number surprised me.
One of how many?
200?
I've never
That's
heard of 6 degrees.
Really? How many degrees are there?
I think it varies from different versions of taekwondo. The one I was in, there was 9.
What?
But there's only there's like and but the head guy, there's only 1 9th degree.
What are the chances that this 94-year-old is a 6th-degree black belt, though?
I'm suspecting there's some leeway in his testing.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Really?
They love him because he's such a funny, cool old dude.
Mm-hmm.
So they gave him a 6-degree black belt because they love him.
So you're already diminishing his accomplishment, basically.
Because it's a lie.
I was just surprised. Look, I don't know anything about the martial arts, but I was just surprised that there are only 200 people with a 6-degree black belt. Because I just assumed that that's attainable for people who are really into it, is they don't quit. They just keep studying and advancing through the program. But
I'd like to see all 200 of them lined up, though, with him involved.
What happens to most people, Chip, in your understanding, is that they just get a black belt and then that's it? That's as far as they go?
I think it depends. Like, if you think like you achieve, you get the black belt, you're like, okay, I'm good. Or people just decide they want to keep studying. It's just a personal choice, I think, of where you go.
Well, I mean, he has been doing it for 35 years.
Yeah.
When you think about it, right? Let's hear some more from the doctor. Oh, yeah. He's also a doctor.
And he's definitely the oldest to reach this milestone.
And punch.
Mine says one thing, But my body says, who do you think you're talking to?
But you wouldn't be able to guess his age from his training. This 94-year-old is at the top of his game.
But he told me, he said, many times, that if you weren't doing taekwondo, you'd be dead. And he's probably right, you know.
Vanover says this sport keeps him going. But it's not just his black belt that will have you saying, I don't want to fight this guy.
I've looked death in the face many times in my life. So I don't worry about it.
He's also a World War II veteran.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Oh,
all right. All
man.
Right. Wow.
All right with that.
Good for him.
He was
He's a badass.
He was a bombardier. Is that how you pronounce it? A bombardier?
I don't know.
In the Air Force, he was shot down 3 times over Germany.
Wow.
And
Donald Trump doesn't like people who get shot down, though.
I know,
right?
They're not heroes.
Losers.
They're like winners. Losers.
Yeah.
Right. So that was 70 years ago is when that happened. That just happened 70 years ago. And now he looks like he's not going to stop. I'll tell you that. And I think the guy who told him that without Taekwondo, he'd probably die is probably true. If he stopped going to the gym, I bet he would just curl up and die. I bet he would. So anyway, there you go. There's Dr. Harlan Vanover. So you decided you're down with him. You like the doctor?
Yeah.
But you also don't think he really doubt
the 6th degree. Well, I would imagine that if you get a first degree black belt mm-hmm. in a fight with him, maybe that first degree would win. That's all I'm saying. Because he's 94. Because his mind is sharp, but his body is old. That's tough to argue.
Sure. Mm.
Should we contact Dana White and see if we can put that fight you just described on UFC 201?
I was just going to say, Kevin wants to see it.
Yes,
that's
I do.
The weird thing.
He wants to
awesome.
See an old man get beat up.
No, I want the old man to win. I don't think he would, but I would love that. Just run in and just round kick right to the head. Boom.
Kevin.
Jumps up on the cage. What?
Oh, him.
Yeah, him.
Okay.
Jumps up on the cage, flips everybody off. Come on, it would
Come
be
on.
Awesome.
No.
Dana, I want a shot at the title.
Hey, you let Brock Lesnar in.
Right.
You've got this whole scenario. I
do,
like it.
And I can't wait.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Ma'am, please stand up and show everyone your vagina.
Oh. Is that something...
I don't
think right
that's a Bastille Day tradition, Allie. Oh,
I had no idea.
Oh, sure. Oh,
so that's crazy French.
So that's coming up today.
Okay.
Also, a brand new internet roundup for you. We have Marla Wayans in the studio. We have Jim Rome talking sports, like we do, talking Tim Duncan and other things. We have Adam Carolla on the program.
Wow. Been a while for the Ace Man.
From the movie The Infiltrator, John Leguizamo. I love John. He seems to be good in everything he does. And I love him. So he's on the program today as well. And your passes for Comic-Con on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
I don't know. Couldn't really break wood.
He could.
So it's kind of a loser, I think. In my opinion, he loses the guy.
That just happened.
How about when he was wearing the uniform fighting the Nazis in World War II?
Yeah, that's how about he was
stupid.
Doing that? Yeah, that's way more impressive.
I didn't fight Nazis. That would be dumb. Look at me. I'm not fighting them Nazis. Oh, I'll get it.
I'll get that.
Someone's phone? What's happening?
What's happening?
Hey, Ralph. Our producer, Dave Sanchez.
Just rolled in. Rolled in,
I was just noticing that he's been silent today. There's been no email, no contact.
Just rolled in. Yeah.
Is he unaware of when the show begins? Or
he's on the new policy here at CBS Radio called Flex Time.
Oh, I see.
Which is if you put in a couple extra minutes at the end of the day, you get to save them up. And then it's literally like coupons. You get to cash them in the morning, and you get to peel those minutes off your work.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's on
Me
flex
either.
Time.
Do they roll over?
Yeah,
do you know?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
They roll over, yeah.
Cool.
All right, well, it's nice that you can join us. I'm happy to hear that.
I'm just Rad.
We're happy to have Mr. Rad.
Dave is, I don't know how to say it. He's an asshole.
Yeah. 5:52, it is Thursday morning. It's the return of Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin DeBeecho Show. What's going on?
The only thing that made me feel worse than whatever was going on inside my body yesterday,
which we made the mistake of asking.
Yeah, you do not want to know what was happening. It was mostly the back end, but there was some good front end action the evening before last. And it was really quite spectacular.
Yeah.
Was that I missed out on the Taylor Swift is over party.
Oh,
I think it's still going on.
I know, but I wanted to be there at the beginning of the end.
Oh,
now,
I
and now.
It wasn't a pretty beginning.
It was
yesterday.
It was ugly.
Yeah.
As Bean decided that he was going to draw a line in the sand and no more were we going to push around Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
no
yeah.
Idea. It got dark.
It was Pouty McPoutster was
really
angry about
that. Pouty?
Yes, Pouty came out.
I love Pouty Bean.
It was rough.
Oh, now you're making me feel worse.
Ralph?
I've never, ever heard her say a bad thing about a person.
My favorite
in all the conversations he's had with her?
Ever.
I was doing showbiz. It was the last story. And this is what I heard. It's 9:52 and 19 seconds, Allie. What? That's
you,
how we ended show.
You would have loved it.
See, no, I thought. See, I had no idea.
Yeah, it got so much better than you thought.
Oh,
you missed
it.
Out.
Ah, crap.
And that's exactly what I was thinking the whole time. Where's Ralphie? Would love this so much.
Crap.
If I could respond, by the
please.
Way.
Please.
All that was happening is I said, you know what, we don't know what happened. The only fact in this story that we know coming from Taylor is that her people acknowledged that she wrote the song. Everything else has been what Calvin said and speculation from quote-unquote insiders. We don't know what happened here.
I think Calvin's sort of an insider.
No, he is an insider.
Having been in a relationship with her and all.
Yeah, yeah. But his opinion is that he was dissed. I just don't know enough about it beyond that to know what happened. That's all.
I love whatever his diss is, he pretty much opens the closet door and lets the skeleton out saying, you needed to try to bury someone like you did with Katy Perry, and now you've picked me.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Announcing to the world, you're right, she did go after Katy Perry in a ridiculous way. She was just trying to bury her. So this is who we're dealing with.
People. By the way, Snap Judgment Guy doesn't have enough information on her. Well, we don't know all of the facts on there. I haven't heard her speak.
We don't know any of the
facts. I haven't heard her say that she hates other people.
Mm.
Yeah, it was anyway, it was magical. Ralph.
Just hashtag Taylor Swift is over party. That's all I know. That's
that was happening yesterday.
That's a thing.
Love it.
The beginning of the end. This is great. This is like Berlin in 44, right? And all the generals are starting to scramble. Hitler's in the bunker with some poison. Ava's nowhere to be found. And where's Blondie, right?
Right.
Right. Blondie, Kevin, of course, being
the singer.
that was Hitler's beloved German Shepherd.
Right. That later sang.
That later sang, right.
Uh-huh.
Started his own band.
Right.
You know the singer wasn't named Blondie, too, right? You know that.
Yeah, I thought that was just a funny guess.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Ghostbusters!
That's a movie that's coming out this weekend.
It does. It opens up tomorrow in theaters everywhere. And if you love the idea of the all-female cast of a rebooted franchise, then you're going to love The Expendables. You heard me. The Expendables is an all-female version of The Expendables. But they're Bells, B-E-L-L-E-S.
Hmm.
Bells.
This is like a parody porn.
No. This is an actual...
Then I would guess Ronda Rousey.
She apparently is in talks to join the cast of The Expendables.
Well, she was in Expendables
in
also.
Right.
Yeah.
And Gina Carano, they're also talking to her apparently.
Sure.
And there will be some MMA representation in there. And Helen Mirren, oddly enough, and Judy Dench. I'm kidding. They won't be.
Both
they won't
of
be
which are 6th-degree black belts.
And 81. So they probably won't be in the mix. However, don't panic, fanboys everywhere, because Stallone says, although he's not involved in the Expendables, he is planning a 4th Expendables movie. So there's still plenty of testosterone to go around.
Now, do we have to hate the female Expendables movie like we hated the female Ghostbusters movie for
no
reason?
No, because no one really loved the Expendables all that much, I think. It's a matter
of inverse
proportion.
This film isn't destroying our childhood.
Right.
No, got it.
Because the first ones were just like, Hey, Chad Johnson from The Bachelorette. You remember him? Remember Chad?
No.
Yeah.
Is he the psycho?
He was the psychotic one who threatened to hurt
beat up
people.
Everybody?
And
torsos
and
in the pool.
Torsos in the pool. He's spectacular. You know, he's returning to Bachelor in Paradise. They're putting him back on television.
How could they not?
How exactly? You got lightning in a bottle there. If you're those guys, you put him on every show you have for the remainder of time.
Till he kills somebody.
Till he kills
then
somebody.
It's over.
Then you go, I don't know what happened. I don't know how that happened.
He must have snapped.
Don't look at us. It's a great story about someone who discovered his Tinder profile. His Tinder profile states that he's a workaholic realtor His life goals, to have his own jet by the age of 31. And he tells any hopeful females deciding whether to swipe him left or right, you probably have a better chance of winning the lottery than landing me. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, God.
How great is Chad?
Is this real? Is this a real scenario right now?
It's a real scenario.
That's pretty awesome.
They interviewed him, and he's fessed up and said, yes, that is his profile. And his attitude towards love? Treat them mean, keep them keen. Is his slogan?
He's got a slogan that rhymes.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't really.
It's terrible.
Keen and mean.
Everything about him is awful and spectacular.
I agree. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jane Lynch is 56 years old today. Our buddy Kyle Gass, KG from the Tenacious D. He is 56 years old. Jackie Earle Haley turns 55. Matthew Fox, remember Lost?
Sure.
That was a show?
Sure.
Yeah, 50 years old today. Actor Scott Porter is 37. Dan Reynolds, Imagine Dragons singer, is 29. And Conor McGregor celebrates his 28th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, refresh my memory. You do or do not watch the news?
I don't. In general, I don't watch the news.
And why is that?
Kid.
Because you're a kid. Mm-hmm. That's right. So you're not as excited as I am about the Republican National Convention, which starts in Cleveland on Monday.
Oh, that's on Monday. That's such good news.
Oh, really? You're in? Now you're
nope.
in?
No, now I'm not in at all.
Still not in?
Because they're all going to be cheering like crazy people.
Of course they are.
Both conventions scare me to death.
Crazy, lots of flags.
Anybody Woo-hoo! That's that excited about the current political system is crazy. Yeah.
What about the old people that dress up in their red, white, and blue outfits, though?
Sure don't need to see that.
What about them?
You sure can tell me about it afterwards.
Well, we don't know everything that's going to be going on. I'm sure there are going to be some surprises. We do know that Tim Tebow is speaking at the convention, so we got that going for us. Allie, I understand that your boyfriend Tom Brady was invited but declined, so he will not be speaking at the convention.
Yeah, that was a smart move, Tom.
One of the big question marks for future President Trump is who is going to be his running mate. A lot of people are saying, look, I like the Donald. He's a businessman. I like what he has to say, but he doesn't have a lot of government experience. Who's he going to pick for vice president? And that is the question on everybody's mind right now, because the announcement, you guys, is tomorrow.
Oh.
Tomorrow we find out, but we've got an in, so let's see if we can get an idea of who he might choose. It's time for a Trump date.
He's a guy.
Sit down.
Donald J. Trump, we know how busy you are, sir. Welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show. Thank you for making time for us.
You're very, very welcome. And you're welcome in advance for the incredible ratings you're going to get for having me on.
Right. Well,
amazing.
I know. Yeah.
Every time I'm anywhere, people just tune in. They show up because that's what I do. I create attention because I am the best at what I do.
Apparently so. And apparently CNN agrees with you because you never leave your house without it being streamed live on CNN 24 hours a day.
But right now I'm here. I'm in Southern California doing some fundraising because, you know, I am the best at raising money. It's unbelievable. I was putting all of my own money in the campaign, and now I am just broke. I'm raising money now. It's going to be incredible. More money than anyone's ever raised before is going to happen this week.
All right. There are a lot of names being thrown about. People with a long political history, like former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich, New Jersey Governor Christie, Governor Pence in Indiana.
Right.
What can you tell us about the search for a VP? Like, what are you looking for, Mr. Trump?
Well, everybody wants to know who I'm going to pick.
Right.
That's the only question on people's minds. They say, who is Donald Trump going to pick for vice president?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to know what I'm thinking.
Right.
All the time.
Uh-huh. Right.
Bigly.
Right.
So here's what's going to happen. I just...
Oh, no.
There's a mosquito here. I don't like mosquitoes!
Okay, can you just ignore it while we're on the phone, sir?
I'll try.
All right.
There's a lot of different ways I can go. I still haven't made my decision yet.
Right.
It's a very important decision. Some people say I should pick someone younger than me. Someone's popular, younger, and also I want to include, you know, a lot of people say I'm anti-woman, I don't like minorities.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
She's very white.
She's very white, yeah.
She's an outsider. She's not a lifetime politician.
Right.
Right.
But
and she's just like I like my women, hot and evil.
Right. She's also too young for the job. She's only 26 years old. I don't think
Is there an age limit on how old you can be?
Yeah, I think
I feel like you should know that.
Oh, I think you have to be 35.
Sorry, I don't have the Constitution tattooed on my ass.
Okay. All right, so
you know everything. You're George Jefferson. You know everything.
No,
I guess.
George Jefferson. George Washington. I think you're like more Thomas Jefferson. One of those two, but not George.
I saw a show about a guy named George Jefferson.
Right.
All the cleaners had a wife named Wheezy. I love that show.
All right, that's unrelated to politics. All right, so Taylor is out. Who else is on your short list, Mr. Trump?
Well, you know, I found just from being on The Celebrity Apprentice that celebrities make the best possible business people.
Yes, please tell me Gary Busey.
Gary Busey's on my list.
Oh. Yes.
All right.
Gary's amazing. He is incredibly, incredibly intelligent. And he's got all those fun Buseyisms where all the letters mean something.
Right.
You take a word and then each letter will mean, like, love. Take love. You say love. Did legs open very easily? Whatever.
That's a bad example, but you will get no argument from us for Vice President Busey. I think you might get our vote if that's the choice you make.
How about Scott Baio?
Scott Baio's been a huge
supporter of mine.
Okay.
I love his work. And if I die, then Charles will be in charge. How great would that be?
That would be love.
The best president ever.
Hard to argue with that.
I also want to reach across the oceans to our friends overseas, you know, to trade issues and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
How about Kim Jong-un? I like the way the guy thinks. I can't help it. I like the way he thinks.
Don't you have to be born in the United States?
Okay, George Jefferson. You know better than what the rules are.
It's just a question.
He doesn't even speak English, though. And he's a dictator. He's going to be a terrible choice for vice president.
Don't have to call the guy a dick, okay? You don't even know him.
Dictator.
You don't know. I don't care. What? He's a dick and a potato?
No. What I'm saying, he's not really down with democracy is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I don't think he's a good fit.
Love that. I think it's a huge mistake.
Have you talked to him about it?
I haven't.
Okay.
Because once again, as you mentioned, he doesn't speak English.
Doesn't speak English.
That's right.
I want a fighter. I want a fighter along my side.
Okay.
So I was thinking Chris Christie. He's a fighter. I said, no, fat. Incredibly fat. Oh, boy, is he fat.
He's a big man.
So how about Chris Brown? A different Chris. He's a fighter.
I don't know that that's a whole different kind of fighter, though.
He's black. People tell me he's black, which is awesome.
Oh, because you don't see color?
I don't see color.
Right.
No, I don't. Except for orange. I love orange.
You do. You're quite orange.
Love orange skin. It's the best skin.
Right.
Or someone.
It's the best skin.
Best skin. Best skin of anybody. Ask anyone to tell you. My skin is amazing.
Right.
Okay.
Huge,
all right.
Huge orange skin.
Right.
Or lastly, maybe I'll just pick someone who is just as smart as I am, just as intelligent, who you want backing up, running your country. Kevin, I'd like to know, would you be my vice president?
Me?
This.
Yes, you.
Yes, I would, Donald.
Oh, crap. Now we're all in trouble.
I'm in. How dare you?
He's the guy you love to hate. That was the Trump days.
Sit down.
Got a huge 7 o'clock, sorry, a huge 7 o'clock hour planned for you coming up, including your passes for Comic-Con in San Diego, and the very funny Marlon Wayans is going to be back in studio with us here on the Kevin Bean Show. That is all coming up. First, though, Dave, our producer, King of Mexico, I'm surprised you are not playing Pokemon Go right now long enough to come into the studio and help with this feature.
I already caught one today.
Yeah.
So he caught
one in the studio looking at me.
Yeah. Dave is here because it's time for a feature we like to call the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. These are the best viral videos of the week. We put them all in one handy location that you can check into. TheKevinandBean.com or KROQ.com is where they are. And we start with a great, great idea for people like me who have not really ever gotten into Game of Thrones. Because now there's a beginner's guide, if I understand correctly, Dave, of the first 5 seasons, right?
Yeah, it catches you up.
This is Samuel L. Jackson doing narration, as only he can, telling you everything we've missed so far in Game of Thrones.
Over in Westeros, Lord Eddard Stark, a.k.a. Ned, is asked by his friend, the king, Robert Baratheon, to be the hand of the king, a.k.a. right-hand man. Ned doesn't want to go, but that's his boy. So he uproots his family and heads to King's Landing. Nice family, right? Don't get attached. I'm just saying.
It's so good.
Yeah, and this is a real thing for Game of Thrones.
It's a good recap.
Yeah.
I hope they do this for a lot of series.
Yeah, it's awesome, and it catches you right up.
Snoop Dogg and his family, the Broadus family, were on Celebrity Family Feud the other day with Steve Harvey, and he was asked to fill in the blank, pie in the.
Oh, no.
Now, his wife had already said sky, so he couldn't choose that. But it doesn't matter because that's not what he came up with. He came up with horse. Steve Harvey,
so weird,
as you will hear, was surprised by that answer.
I need one other person in this world who, for some reason, has found a pie stuck up inside a horse, cut it, and served it to the people. Survey says... Yes.
Anyway, it's a very funny video.
He doesn't even pause either. He's not thinking. He just fires it right back. Horse.
Horse. Honest Trailers is back, of course, with Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters movie opening up everywhere tomorrow. They revisited the original Ghostbusters sequel, Ghostbusters 2.
So before you go and see the movie that people have decided will ruin the franchise before they've even seen it, revisit the movie that already ruined the franchise by throwing out the fun grown-up comedy and doubling down on lame kid stuff. Unless you think the franchise was already ruined by that terrible video game, or that other terrible video game, or Extreme Ghostbusters, or this embarrassing cameo in the Casper movie.
Who are you going to call?
Someone else.
Wow. Shawn Welby is her name, and she has become famous with her viral videos of her doing the weather on her UK television station, where she likes to work in puns about something that's happening in pop culture. And this time, because of Ghostbusters, she tried to see how many she could work into her report.
Well, I'm afraid you'll need your parka this afternoon, with scattered showers expected in between the odd ray of sunshine. Clouds will stay puffed today, so in the heavy downpours of rain, don't cross the streams or rivers unless it's safe to do so.
I love her.
I think we're talking to her on Monday's show, Dave. Is that right?
Yeah, we may have.
I don't really like wordplay much, but she does it so well.
It's effortless.
That people who don't know it probably don't notice it at all.
Yeah.
And she's pretty hot, right, Kevin?
And she's pretty hot, yeah. Speaking of the Pokemon Go, Dave, give me some backstory on this original PokeRap.
Well, you know, in the cartoon, whenever an episode was really short, they would just add this PokeRap at the end. So it's just this random, like, you know, the G.I. Joe, like the end of the G.I. Joe shows. So they would throw this PokeRap, and it lasts about 2 minutes.
It lasts however long they wanted it to last, just by naming characters.
Yep.
Butterfree!
Catch 'em, catch 'em, gotta catch 'em all. Pokemon! I'll send you across the land.
That's sure good. And then there's an updated PokeRap. Now, what's the story with this one?
Well, College Humor, you know, that's a funny YouTube channel. They decided when Pokemon added the remaining 500 new Pokemon that they'll go through all of them. So it's a 9-minute video of PokeRap.
Ponyard!
Gotta catch them all, gotta catch them all. Gotta catch them all, gotta catch them all.
Do we?
Yes! Has anyone ever sat through the entire video that names all 718 Pokemons?
I didn't.
Just one guy in this room, I think.
I watched about a minute, and then I skipped forward to about 2 minutes, same thing.
Uh-huh.
3 minutes, same thing.
You got the gist.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go, as you know by now, was just released in America 1 week ago today. It has already it's become a national obsession. And here's a lady who's working at a hardware store, and she did not care or know about Pokemon, but she was sick of people coming into the store always looking to catch these characters. So she thought, and this is her how little she understood about the game, she thought, I'm going to sign up for Pokemon Go, and then I'm going to capture all of the characters in the hardware store, and then nobody will come in anymore. She didn't understand that multiple people could capture the same. Well, what do you think happened when she tried to do that? She became herself addicted to Pokemon Go.
Of course.
Now she has to hate herself like she hates all the other people that come into the store to play.
If I downloaded the game, I could catch all the Pokemons in my work, and people would quit coming to catch them. Well, that's not how it works. So now I have a bunch of Pokemons, and there's people still coming in to get the Pokemons. Now I feel stupid, but I want to catch them, but I feel stupid.
You should feel stupid.
Fake. Fake.
You think so?
Yeah, that accent is terrible.
She tries to be funny in a lot of videos.
I will tell you that there are people in this country who talk like that.
Yeah.
She does say at one
point. She's not one of them.
I never thought this is where I'd be at 27 years old. Bad lip reading is back. You know how great a job they do. We always ask, how is anybody who's deaf actually able to read lips? Because it looks exactly like these people, in this case in High School Musical, are saying these things, but they're not.
Why don't you say your age?
Are you mocking me?
Yeah.
Okay, why you gotta do that?
I know. Sounds like you got the wrong guy. We could both play outside.
Uh-uh.
Ooh. Hey.
Gross. You're so smiley.
But I don't mind, girl.
Bye-bye, black sheep.
Nah, nursery rhyme.
Yeah.
They have the same accent as the lady in the Pokemon video.
Yes, they do. Now, I don't know who's going to watch 22 minutes of Bad Lip
Reading. It's 22 minutes long.
Yeah. This is like the longest one ever.
Yeah. If you love Metallica and love cats, then this is the album for you. It's Meowtalica.
It's Meowtalica. 40 of their furriest hits on one cat-tastic collection. Featuring greatest hits. Now that's what I call music. Meow, 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 meow.
Guys, it's cat-tastic.
Meow, meow, meow.
Come on.
Meow, 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 meow.
Ask me how much of that one I watched.
All
every
second.
Thank you for asking. And the continuing tradition of how are these videos even made? Who has the time to go through every movie in the world to cut the 1 second at a time out to make a video? In this case, doing Paramore's Misery Business. This is the entire song, every word sung by 155 different movies. Check it out.
Wow! I never meant to
brag.
But I
got
where I
want it.
Whoa!
It was never
my intention
to brag.
To steal it.
Well, away
from you
now.
But God doesn't
feel so good.
Because I got
him where?
I want him now!
And if you could, then you know.
You would.
Because.
God, it just feels so.
It just
feels
so
good.
You can't even tell.
This may be the best sung by movies ever.
Well, you do love Paramore.
Well,
I know
that's
that.
True.
You can see all these videos and so much more at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. What about her, by the way?
I love her.
Yes. Right? What's the question? Just how good is she?
Thumbs up.
How talented is she?
Amazing.
All right. That's all I wanted to hear.
Okay.
Hey, Ralph Graham is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Rhetorical questions.
Just wanted to see if you guys shared my enthusiasm for that artist.
Yes.
We all love Bishop.
Okay.
But maybe, do you guys love her as much as I do versus, hey, what about her? Yeah, it's not really, there's no place to go from
there. It's not really a question.
Really.
Okay, noted.
All right. Put that one down. You guys know that there is a mathematical formula for beauty? Did you know that?
No, sure.
I did not.
I have 6.9. What?
Out of?
I don't even know.
100, probably.
Saying. Yeah, out of 100. I hate you.
This is the thing about how far apart your eyes are and the shape of your nose and all that, right, Ralph?
Yes, Bean. It is a mathematical formula known as, Kevin?
The beauty formula.
Nope, the golden ratio.
Right. Mm.
There is a specific mathematical ratio of eyes to eyes, nose to chin, size of the mouth, size of the forehead. That is an actual scientific formula for beauty. The
okay.
Greek golden ratio of beauty phi, as it's known. And they took 20 or so beautiful celebrities and ran them through the computer and came up with who is the most beautiful face in the world.
Now, I feel like beauty is somewhat subjective.
Wrong!
Okay. This is science, Kevin.
Telling you
are
now,
you not listening?
Science.
Okay.
Now, you'll be happy to know that they also broke it down into categories as to who has the most beautiful eyes, perfect eyebrows, nose, chin, jaw, facial shape. They all have separate champions in those categories. But when they put it all together, the computer mapping technology, for example, found out that Kim Kardashian had perfect eyebrows. The perfect, beautiful woman eyebrows. Oh, I gotta get that. Hold on.
What a surprise nobody ever calls me now.
Scarlett Johansson has the best eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna's face shape was the most beautiful. Emily Ratajkowski. Best lips.
Was that a doorbell up to the
phone? Okay.
What's happening up there?
He's being assaulted.
It's a All home right. invasion.
If I could,
please,
they called
God,
first.
Be so.
They called first to make sure no one was home.
Hey, we're going to invade you. Is that right?
But they're polite. They rang the doorbell.
They are. They're polite.
That's pretty cool.
Home invaders.
They could have kicked in the door, but they just rang the doorbell.
I apologize, but what's happening is because of the time difference, I get a lot of calls from Louisiana now because of various things that are going on.
Sure.
You should turn off the ringer.
That's on us, then. That's our bad. I'm sorry.
Right, that's on you. Right.
Sorry about that.
But was there a doorbell?
I think the ding at the end was the end of somebody leaving a voicemail.
Okay.
I think that's
all right.
So I will move this a little bit further away.
If you would, please.
Okay.
There's only some way you could have known you were going to do a live radio program where audio would be important.
I should have thought of that.
Yeah.
All right,
back to
me.
The most beautiful women,
Kate
according
Moss's
to science.
Forehead, by the way. Kate Moss's forehead, the perfect forehead.
Okay.
Oh.
Anyway, who do you think?
I like how you say forehead.
Forehead? Forehead?
He does kind of say far.
He does say far.
He can't say
You're on the list, Bean. It's that. When the computer spit that out, that's how you came up.
And that one.
It's science.
That is science.
That sort of coarse language is far beneath the dignity of this room.
Not really. Anyway, who came up with the most perfect face? Perfect face. None of the
Alice
women
Cooper.
I mentioned, by the way. None of the women I mentioned.
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman. Kevin, you'd be happy to know she is on the list for eyes, but did not make the...
Love her so much.
Did not make the...
Okay.
Charlize Theron.
Nope.
Love her so much.
Kate Beckinsale.
Nope.
Keira Knightley.
No.
Most perfect face.
Yes. All together. When you put it all together, she had the best ratio... of the golden ratio of Beauty 5.
Tan Mom.
Tan Mom, yes. Well done, Kevin. You must have your own computer over there. You must have ran your own software.
You're not allowed to cheat, Kevin. You're supposed to guess.
Is she a big star, Ralph?
Big star.
Movies?
In the news a lot lately.
Movies?
One of our... Movies, yes.
Movies,
one of our... one of our friends of the show would be very happy to know this is the answer, by
Sarah
the way.
Shahi. Oh.
Well, yeah, she can't get her out of movies. Every movie I see has Sarah Shahi in it.
How about Angelina Jolie?
No.
Amber Heard.
Yes, Kevin, Amber Heard.
Well, because he said one of our listeners would be very happy, right? That's what I was thinking.
I knew she was the most beautiful girl in the world.
I told all of them.
I'm right. I wrote a movie for her. I'm mother of a Tupac.
I know that this doesn't need to be said, but she's beautiful. Why? Okay. But I mean,
come back.
We're having fun.
See, Bean, the whole thing was who's the most beautiful, and
she was named
to actually say it.
Pretty much by science.
The whole point was
a computer had a program where they factored in all the beautiful women, and she came out as the most beautiful face in the world. That's what the whole point was.
It's science.
I agree with that. She's very beautiful.
She's very beautiful.
She should be on that list.
Oh, wow. She is.
If you start any sentence with this is probably not going to be helpful or whatever it is you said.
She should be very, very high on the list. Very near the top, I would guess.
She's at the top.
Michael Jordan was a pretty good basketball player.
He's going out on a limb here.
All right, Amber Heard, I'll allow it.
All right. So there you go.
I love her.
Hey, you guys like Shark Tank? You watch the Shark Tank?
I do. I don't watch it a lot, but when I do, I enjoy
it
very much.
Love Shark Tank. Kevin, you watch Shark Tank?
Same with Bean. I like it a lot, but I don't have time for it most of the time, but I do like it when I watch it.
I love those hosts.
You strike me as the kind of guy who's like one of those, it's almost like an antique roadshow American Pickers kind of thing where you meet somebody and they've got a unique thing going on with them and they present it.
I don't feel like it's that way because it's not their old crap. It's an invention.
Yeah,
it's something new that they're trying to invent.
Some of them are crap. Some of the conventions are crap. They're new, instead of old crap, it's new crap.
Right, and it's fun to watch the new crap, too.
Anyway, it's a great show, wildly successful. So naturally, as you know, show business is a game of imitation. NBC has picked up a new reality show, brand new reality show.
Okay.
Never been done before.
All right.
Called Funded, which will feature entrepreneurs.
Oh.
With startup companies battling to pick up investments in their business.
Game.
Funded.
That's a terrible name.
Yeah, I mean, if you got Shark Tank, even if you're going to rip it off, well, how about the Fund House or something? Just do something. Funded.
Funded.
Uneasy.
You might have some backing from us.
Wait till you hear the hosts, the mentors for the entrepreneurs who are battling for $1 million investment in their business.
So the mentors are the people that might invest, the three judges or whatever?
No, this is even lamer.
Oh.
Because it's $1 million, and it's a competition, and the final person will get $1 million for his business.
Oh, I see.
Shark Tank people come in and out. They get cash all the time handed to them.
Right.
20%. I'll buy 50%. I'll buy this $1 million. Everybody comes in.
At the end.
They battle for the first. So they'll have three mentor/hosts who will guide them through the dangerous waters of small business-dom.
All right. Funded.
Funded.
Is Knock Knock Live's Ryan Seacrest one of those mentors?
He isn't. I wish, looking at this list, I wish he was one of them. Rohan Oza. Rohan Oza.
He or she is captivating.
Rohan Oza.
Hmm.
Got nothing for you there.
Nothing.
Rohan Oza.
No idea.
Rob Dyrdek.
All right.
Rob
Dyrdek. We like Rob.
We like Rob, but what is he doing on the show? What business does he have on this show?
I don't know, but he seems like the right kind of person for this show because he's very inventive.
What kind of person
to
go out and have a beer with?
Yeah, same. But he could do this too. At least he's not the first person you said.
Rohan Oza, by the way, apparently is a marketing man who is behind Vitamin Water.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Well,
okay.
You can sell people water. You can tell them anything. And Tyra?
No.
Tyra Banks.
Nope.
What
Tyra
is happening? This is on NBC?
Funded.
How dare you, NBC?
Funded.
Yeah, I got it.
Funded.
I'm not looking for A-N-T-M as in America's Next Top Martian. I'm looking for America's Next Top what?
That.
So this is just a one-off. It's not a series.
It's a series called Funded.
No, it's just one show. Right?
Funded.
Just one show.
Funded.
Stop saying funded.
I think he's saying it's a series.
I can't imagine that would happen.
Wow. Wow.
NBC, they put the fun back in funded.
It sounds a lot like Shark Tank, that other show that's on.
How dare you? That.
Only much worse. It sounds like it's a ripoff.
All right,
but
let's take all the good things about Shark Tank and get those out of here.
It's done poorly.
Get that week's done out of here. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jane Lynch is 56 years old today, as is our buddy KG Kyle Gass from Tenacious D. Jackie Earl Haley, Jackie Earl Haley is 55 years old. Matthew Fox turns 50. Scott Porter's 37. Dan Reynolds of Imagine Dragons turns 29. And Conor McGregor of the UFC is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. You want to go to Comic-Con?
Yes, I do.
Now is the time to call.
Oh, hold on. I got to get a phone.
No. What? You're going to help us give away passes.
What the what?
For Comic-Con, for the listeners.
But what about, when do I go?
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. If you want to call now, you can win tickets to go see Comic-Con.
And get funded.
Right, call now, and we'll play the game next.
Once a year, the world ends up in San Diego at the Convention Center for Comic-Con. We're talking about everything from fantasy to toys to collectibles to animation to sci-fi to comic books. It's all there at the San Diego Convention Center, July 22nd through the 24th. It is sold out, but we're giving away some tickets right now for you at 1-800-520-1067. 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Super Weapon.
Superheroes always fight for the good of the people. And to win the fight against evil, they have to use their
Super Weapon.
Now you'll get your chance to win tickets to the Comic-Con. Just guess the Super Weapon. Now come on, get it on.
Super Weapon.
Let's throw it over to a man who is pointing at his super weapon right now in the studio, Ralph Garman. Hey, Ralph.
Not one of Omar's catchier intro. People won't be humming that in the car on the way to work, but still, he tried.
What do we need to know?
You need to know what heroes use what weapons. Superheroes often have super weapons. I will describe the weapon. You have to tell me which superhero we're talking about. And to make it fair, because I know there's a lot of different comic book people out there. We have Marvel heroes to choose from or DC heroes to choose from. So you let me know which side of the comic book wars you're sitting, and I will ask you about a hero from that particular brand.
All right. That sounds very generous. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
Let's start in Beverly Hills and say good morning to Sorrow. Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Sorrow. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Very good.
Doing well. I'm going to give you a clue about a super weapon. You have
super weapon!
Which superhero uses it, okay? Now, you can pick Marvel or DC, your choice.
Let's go Marvel.
Marvel, okay. This hero uses a disc-shaped object that's composed of a unique alloy of vibranium, steel, and is virtually indestructible.
Captain America.
Captain America is correct, sir. Well done. You're in the drawing.
Nicely done. Hold on, please. Let's go to Dominic in Ontario. Hi, Dominic.
How's it going?
Good, thank Dominic. You. DC or Marvel? Your choice.
Let's go Marvel.
Marvel, okay. Mjolnir is the hammer wielded by this hero.
Oh, that's the God of Lightning, Thor, baby.
God of Thunder, but I'll give you
a It's also not his baby. So.
You're right, in the hold drawing. On. Hold on. God of Lightning. Let's go to slap him down.
He was trying to give us a little more information than we needed.
Give him a little less.
Let's go to Alex in Long Beach. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, Alex.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Alex. Your choice, DC or Marvel?
I'm going to have to go with Marvel.
Marvel, okay. This hero uses adamantium claws. This hero uses adamantium claws.
Wolverine,
well done.
Nicely done. Hold on.
Three for three.
All right, let's go to Mike in Wilmington. Mike, hi.
Good morning.
Whoa. Hey, Mike. Mike works on the railroad.
Wow.
That's manly.
Yeah, sometimes.
You have one of them watches?
Sometimes.
No, yes, sometimes, yes.
Sometimes you have a watch.
What the hell are you talking about?
Either you work at the railroad or you don't.
Yeah, but you have a watch on your phone, so you're good.
Oh, okay. Maybe he's just a hobo and he sleeps. Yeah, he sleeps in a boxcar.
Occasionally, I'll catch a ride.
All right, Mike.
I love that you heard train, and your first thought though was the old timey pocket watch that you see in the westerns, right, Ralph?
Yeah. Well, they need to know what.
That's
what,
right. It's important.
When the trains are running on time. Okay. Marvel or DC, Mike?
I'll go with Marvel.
Marvel. Okay. This hero's weapon is covered with the same silvery glaze that his body is covered with, making it virtually impervious to any sort of physical damage.
Silvery glaze? Mm-hmm. Iron Man?
No, I'm sorry. The Silver Surfer. Silver Surfer's surfboard is also the same thing as covers his skin. So.
All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to...
Hint was in the silver.
Yeah, I thought the silver would have been a giveaway. By the way... Aren't there a lot of people who work for DC in Southern California, Ralph?
Yes, because their offices are over there.
That's
Warner
what I
Brothers.
Thought. Yeah. They're weeping right now at what a Marvel universe this
positive.
Has become.
I don't know if they're weeping.
All right, Andy in Southgate. Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Andy, Marvel or DC? Your choice.
Marvel.
Marvel. This hero has been known to wield a billy club while defending Hell's Kitchen.
Daredevil.
Daredevil. Well done.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to Orange and say good morning to Morgan. Hi there. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi, Morgan. Hey, what line of work are you in, Morgan?
I actually work as a sex toy distributor.
Yeah!
The kids love the sex toys.
Apparently, do they?
What?
Morgan. Morgan sounds hot.
She does. She absolutely does. But I think we're being derailed from giving away the Comic-Con tickets, Ralph.
I'm in a big hurry. I don't want to talk to sexy sex toy lady.
Let's get to the question.
All right, Marvel or DC, Morgan?
Let's do Marvel.
Marvel, okay. A hellfire chain has the ability to protect project mystical fire for this hero. Hellfire chain is the weapon of this hero.
It's Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. Yeah. Well done.
Woo!
Nicely done.
Hellfire Chain, by the way, is also the name of the sex toys that Morgan distributes.
Let's go to Ricardo in Hawthorne. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Ricardo. Marvel or DC?
We'll try DC.
All right. This hero uses a weapon that is based on an Australian hunting tool, and it has appeared in every major TV and movie adaptation of this character to date. An Australian hunting tool is the basis.
You got me on that one.
Not even a guess for a DC character that might be in your mind?
I was going to go with like Wonder Woman or something like that.
When you think Australia, you lost, but let me work with you here. When you think Australia, what thing do you think of?
A vuvuzela?
Yeah, exactly.
No. A dingo.
we're thinking of the Batarang based on the Boomerang. Batman is who we're looking for. Batman.
Oh,
got it.
Okay.
All right. You think Boomerang? We think Australia?
Yeah, absolutely. Andy's in the drawing. Also, Alex, Dominic, Sorrow, and Morgan as well. Please let it be Morgan. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Well, yay to Andy.
Andy!
Yay!
Andy.
Oh, shut up, Pete. You didn't even play.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Great talking to you. Is Marlon on his phone?
He was, yes. Now he is on. Now he put his headphones on.
It's been a while, but we're happy.
Why are you guys whispering? No, it's funny, though. It's weird.
Producer Dave was standing right next to him. I was like, Dave, get his attention and tell him that we're going on the air. And Dave just stood there and did nothing.
Actually, he was pinching my ass.
Oh, was he? Okay. Sorry.
That is the voice of Marlon Wayans back at the Kevin Bean Show. Actor, producer, comedian, writer, director. He does it all. This is going to shock you guys. At least I know it shocked me. How much box office do you think Mr. Marlon Wayans is responsible for in his long film career?
$670 million.
That is a phenomenal guess, Ali. $736 million domestic box office.
Pales and compared to Sam Jackson, who's been in every movie for the past 15 years.
I don't know that I would.
I don't think Sam says no. Him and Kevin Hart, if they go, Sam, do it. Yeah, I'll do it.
That is, if I'm doing the math correctly, that is a lot of money.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I didn't make any of that.
I don't believe that for a second,
Box Office
Merlin.
Made that. I didn't make it. How about this? It's so bad, I only got one car. No black guy got one car.
But is it a nice one?
I mean, it's a Porsche, but it's 3 years old.
Oh, man. That's embarrassing.
I'm not a little wheezy. You know, I should have a Bentley and a Rolls Royce. I got to have cars that make cops go... you know, I got to pull this guy over just because I'm pissed off. I don't have that car.
Well, Marlon,
and when they go, can you show me your license registration? I sure can show you my legal papers.
Marlon is in town this weekend for, check this out, 5 shows at the Irvine Improv. 2 shows Friday night, 2 shows Saturday night, and then the Sunday night 7 p.m. show. That's tickets are on sale now at improv.com. That's a lot of heavy lifting right there, Marlon.
I like to work. I got to pay for those cars. I like to work. I like spending time on stage, and I just think there's so much to talk about because I think the climate of our world is kind of changing, and not just the climate of the weather. I think the climate of the world, we're getting to a bad place, and when there's bad place and bad things happen, you get to kind of talk about it, and you know everybody's scared for you to talk about it, like, ooh. But you just got to go in there, you got to dive in and find my job is to find the fun.
And I wanted to ask you about that in particular this week that we have you on, Marlon, because I don't know if you watched the ESPYs or not, but the ESPYs last night was such a somber show because it opened with 10 minutes on police shooting young black men around America. And
because the ESPYs in sports, there's a lot of black people in sports. And so it's for us, yeah, we going to spend 10 to 15 minutes on it because we want people to know, hey, A, we don't want to be shot. B, we're not happy about what's going on. I mean, we shouldn't have to go, hey, Black Lives Matter. And it's sad because black people are the only people that have to tell people, hey, guys, remember, hey, Black Lives Matter, Black Lives Matter. Hey, Merry Christmas. And don't forget, Black Lives Matter. It's just a bad climate, and something has to be done. And
I agree. Look, no one's happy with what's going on. But my point to you in terms of how you find the funny in that is the ESPYs is usually a show that is pretty lighthearted, and the athletes are involved in funny sketches and stuff. But it was a completely different atmosphere last night. And I'm wondering, when you get on stage and that's heavy on your mind, how do you bring the funny when you're talking about stuff like that?
I'm going to make everybody really sad for about 35 minutes, and then I'm going to make you laugh. No. I don't talk about it the same. When I'm on stage, I have a job to do, and that's to, you know, to always find the funny. I may talk about a topic that... pull some strings that may hit some nerves, but I'm going to go try and discover what's funny about it. That is my job. No matter how dark it is, no matter how crazy it is, we got to go, what's funny about it? I'm the funny news reporter. And when I'm in a comedy club, my job is to make people laugh.
We have a lot of comedians, and I don't think I've asked this of any of them. Do people storm out?
Sometimes.
Do people get upset by what you're saying?
Sometimes you'll be like, hey, Black Lives Matter. White people go, some white people go, I didn't come here for this.
All lives matter.
All lives matter.
That's all it takes.
Like, some people get so wound up. Yeah. You know, I've had a brother get up in the middle of my set and want to fight.
Really?
Yeah. And Al, he was like, I should come up there and kick your ass. I said, well, come on, Sugar Chris Bear. Come bring your yellow eyes up here and let me beat the hell out of you. And, you know, then he threw a drink and stormed off. And I talked about him for another 40 minutes
Take
after he left.
To that guy, right?
Oh, yeah. It was a gift. That guy was a gift to that show.
Everything is a gift. When you're a comedian, everything is a gift. Like, every time there's a new topic, every time Trump opens his mouth,
yeah.
Every time there's some kind of bad thing that goes on, I get to go. Here's an opportunity to go try and make people smile about something that is making us cry. Laughter brings everybody together. And so that's the one thing when you share a room with multicultures and multi races and you make them all laugh at one time, we're feeling one beautiful elation, and that feels good.
Yeah, I feel bad sometimes because what's good for America probably is not Donald Trump, but boy, does that give us a lot of content.
Oh, he gives us a lot. You know, I hope the presidential race lasts 2 years.
It won't.
It already has.
I know.
Yeah.
It has.
Already
it's
has.
Been like it 6 years of him going, I should be president.
Come on.
No, you shouldn't.
Marlon, have you had any...
If he's president, the bald eagle will finally have a place to rest in his hair.
Have you had
He needs to go
any...
to Supercuts. That's the only president that needs to actually go to Supercuts. Okay, I'm sorry.
By the way, you know that he has all of the fashion advice that he could possibly get, and he just says no.
It's
he
a scary look. If you it can't really fix is. Your hair... You can't fix our country.
And it's not a comb over. How do you describe what is it he's doing that's so awful?
I don't know. It looks like ass hair that he just let grow wildly on the top of his head.
I do not want to see that ass. That's ass hair.
This is the voice of Marlon Wayans here at the Kevin DeBeach Show. We're talking about, among other things, his stand at the Irvine Improv. Great room for 5 shows this weekend. 2 shows Friday night, 2 shows Saturday, and then again on Sunday. Tickets are available at improv.com. Your show is 21 and up, Marlon, which I think is a wise disclaimer to add to.
Some people are... Depending on how dirty I get, it should actually be 25 and up. But that's because of the liquor. You know, sometimes people sneak in at 19. Some, you know, 17-year-olds, it's like, if they're there, I'm just going to pick on you. You don't want to come. 21's a good age to come to a comedy club and, you know, with your parents and drink. It's a good 21st birthday party.
Get your tickets at improv.com. More with Marlon right after this on K-Rock. One of the hardest working men in show business in our studio here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, talking about comedian Marlon Wayans. He is going to be at the Irvine Improv all weekend long, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Do you live in Southern California, Marlon?
Yes, I do.
So this is fun for you. Home
stand. I almost gave you my address. I was like, thank God you moved on. That's been bad times. Went home with a whole crowd of people out there.
Well, it's early. It's easy to make a slip up like that.
I make a lot of slip ups. That's why I keep going. Yeah, I'm not recording, am I?
Yeah. you've been doing stand-up for a long time.
Actually, I haven't.
What?
I only started doing stand-up 5 years ago.
No way.
Yes, and believe it or not. And that's why I still love it. My brothers are like, you on the road again? I'm like, yeah, because I, unlike you guys, has been doing it for 30, 40 years. I've only been doing it now 5 years. So it's new to me, and I love it. I feel like it's the best thing I've ever done. I think it's the glue to everything else that I've been doing. And I think it's the thing that's going to set me apart and give me the identity that I've been, comedically, that I've been searching for. So I think stand-up takes you to superstardom.
Is there more pressure because you have family members who've done it successfully?
I believed in my head that there was. And I think that was one of the reasons why I was afraid to do it, because my brothers did it before me. And in comedy, you talk about your life experience. I had 6 people talking about life experience in our house before me. What the hell do I talk about? I got to go up on stage and go, yeah, you know what Keenan said. Ditto, Damon. Sean, you wasn't lying. But I learned that, and with comedy, you can still tell your life experience because it is still different than theirs. Because
it's your viewpoint.
Right, the way your you point of view. And so that's why I embrace stand-up comedy. That's why I love it so much. And that's why I'm literally on the road every weekend because it just makes me better. The more I hit a stage, the more I listen to laughs. When I'm writing movies, I hear the laughs in my head. You know when something's going to be funny. You know when it's not. You know when it's going to be offensive. You know who's going to be offended. You know if this joke's going to work in South Carolina, how it's going to play in Los Angeles and New York, but how the flyover state's going to like this joke.
Right.
Because that's the great thing about comedy. You travel with your set. So a Obama joke can kill in New York. Well, you take that down to Texas.
They don't want to have any part of
it. They don't want no part of it. But if you phrase it the right way, they'll laugh just as hard as they did in New York. So it's just
how
about,
long did it take you to learn that?
Or
did you just assume it from the beginning?
No, it took me literally 4 years of doing stand up to learn that. And I've been applying that, and every time you hit a stage, you learn something different. And so I just love hitting that stage and giving it my all. And you know, I'm physical, I'm social, I'm political, but I'm funny and I'm fun. It's like a fun act. I sweat like hell. You would think I did a line of crack. Like, literally, not like I did a line of crack. And you know, crack is rock. That's really hard to get up your nose. But I sweat so much because I'm out there working and expressing and having such a good time. And to me, I want to make everybody in that crowd laugh.
Do you do like a clothes change halfway through because you're soaking wet?
Nah.
Throw me another shirt.
I honestly, sometimes I bring one out, but I never have the time to change it. You know, one time, me and D-Ray did a show, and D-Ray Davis, who's a really funny comedian in L.A., he goes, man, Marlon was working hard out there. His shirt was melting because my shirt was literally melting off my body because it was wet and dripping. And, you know, it's a rock show to me. It's a rock concert. So I got out there and I give him my all, man.
You make it sound sexy.
It is kind of sexy because now I got abs. So, ladies, come on, see that. Maybe I'll throw you my wet shirt. You can see I got the top two abs, lady. Top two.
Ooh, top two are
working
hard.
On the bottom. The yeah. bottom four.
No, the top two are the hardest.
But that's all you got to show on a low cut V-neck.
Yeah, that's Marlon, quite that's the V.
That's
all.
Very low V.
It's low. It's low. But you know, some people find it sexy in Southern California.
Let me ask you this question, Marlon, because we've been lucky enough to be doing this job for a long time. We've had so many great comedians come through over the years, and most of them fall in love with the craft and can never give it up. No matter how successful they are, whether you're a Jay Leno or you're a Louis C.K. or a Jerry Seinfeld, there's nothing to replace the rush of a live crowd and doing comedy. How did your man Eddie Murphy, who you admire so much, how did he walk away from stand-up and not do it anymore?
Because when you're as accomplished as Eddie Murphy was, and you're doing movies and you're getting paid the money that Eddie makes, you know, at a point you just feel like it's hard to be away from your family. It is hard to travel every weekend. It is hard to stand on a stage and open your heart and every night and go, here's what's wrong with me, here's what's wrong with the world, and here's what's funny about it. Eddie just got to a place in his life where he didn't love it. And if you don't love it, he did the right thing by walking away.
But isn't that so rare?
But the reality is, if you ever hang around Eddie Murphy, Eddie will sit there and be talking to you, and the dude is so brilliant because he'll be sitting there and be talking, and then something to make him laugh. And then he'll go into a character for 25 minutes, and you can't even finish your conversation. The dude is absolutely brilliant.
Okay, so if he's still that funny, it's odd to me because, you know, Jerry Seinfeld is one of the examples Bean gave, has all the money in the world, and yet he's still.
I'm pretty sure Michael Jordan can still play basketball. But does he really want to play anymore? At a point, you go, I did it. I've done it for 40 years. Yeah. Eddie did two world tours. Raw was huge. Delirious was huge. He hit it hard, and he hit the optimal level. He played Madison Square Garden and sold it out. Hey, man, he did it. And at a point, you know, you get to that point where you go, I did it. I want to take this time and just live life. He has 10 kids. Let him get to know his kids. I only got two. I kind of know them.
Does that frustrate you as a fan, though? Is there a part of you that wishes he doesn't have to travel and go around the country every week?
He could just do a
stand at Radio City Music Hall for a week if he wanted to.
As a selfish fan that loves Eddie Murphy, hey, man, I go Eddie, can you do a podcast? Hey, man, can you just tape you on the toilet in the morning with your morning thoughts?
Give us something, Eddie.
But yeah, we want it. But as a fan and as an admirer and as a supporter, I just go, you know what? You
Let
did it.
Live.
And that's why there's guys like me, hungry, younger guys that want to achieve those things. And, you know, him sitting out makes the way for guys like, you know, my brother Damon to have had his opportunity, for Kevin Hart to have come up, for Chris Rock to have come up. You know, sometimes you just stand aside and you enjoy. I see Eddie at Kevin Hart's shows. I see Eddie at when Damon was doing stand-up. I see Eddie come out and support. But he did it. And yeah.
Do you think you're going to be that kind of guy? Or are you going to be the kind of guy that just has to keep doing it because you love it?
See, I'm desperate. And okay. I will probably do it because I love it. And I don't have a life. And my life is, I love making people laugh. So And I like to work. I've always loved working. And I used to love collecting bottles and cans. I love working in the sneaker store. And I realized I love the work. So let me do something that I love. I love doing comedy. So I'm always going to do stand-up.
But you're talking like you don't have other things happening.
I got a lot.
Exactly. You have a show coming out on NBC.
I got a TV show coming out on NBC called Marlon, and I'm doing a show every weekend.
Right.
Before that show, and when I'm filming the show every weekend, I'm on the road still. But I'm crazy. I like to work. I work so much, slaves will be like, oh, boy, that Marlon just works so hard. Bro, just let's make him some lemonade. Boy, sit you behind. Damn.
A lot of times we apologize to guests because they have to get up so early to be on our show, and we apologize to you for that, and you were like, it's fine. I'm used to it. I like working. I don't mind getting up.
It's what we do, man. Yeah. It's part of the job, Marlon. And for me to complain about it, you know, why I complain about the thing that I love to do? I'm blessed. I'm happy. The fact that I could do it in every form, I could go to do stand-up. This weekend, I'm in, where am I at?
Irvine.
At the Irvine Improv. Uh-huh. 2 weeks from now, I'm at the Oxnard Levity Live in Oxnard. Right. That's not next week, but the week after, I think it's the
28th. That is a brand new, that's the grand opening. You're the premier act at Levity Live.
Come on, hang out with me.
That is going to be July 29th, July 30th, and July 31st, by the way. Tickets are on sale for those shows at levitylive.com.
Yeah,
Oxnard is close to you.
Then I'm doing my show, Marlon, for NBC, as an inappropriate dad. I'm writing, I'm producing movies. I love it, man. I love stand-up. I love comedy. And, you know, I'm blessed. And so I love working. So
I'm tired, you know, listening to you.
I sleep. I get my 4 or 5 hours of sleep.
Forget doing all the stuff Marlon does. We can't even listen to Marlon talk about doing all the stuff he does without us getting exhausted.
I need a lunch. I need a lunch break. Marlon's talking too much.
Is 4 or 5 hours good for you?
4 or 5 hours is, yeah. I work out 6 days a week. So, and everybody's like, and I'm 44. And people are like, you 44?
You're 44?
Black don't crack unless you smoke it.
Wow. That is not cool.
Yeah, man.
Marlon, before you go,
I
have to ask, you mentioned that you have 2 kids of your own, right?
Yeah.
You said in an interview the other day that you have, did you say 40 nieces and nephews?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
I don't even know their name at this point.
I mean, how could you?
What my grandma did, which is, my grandma, there was so many of us, she stopped knowing our names. She used to call us you child. You the child with the child. That's what she called my sister with the young baby. You the child with the child. You child junior.
I would start
calling them whatchamacallit and little thingy. Hey, little thingy, come here.
Do you think your kids, like so many other people in your family, are gonna automatically want to grow up and be in show business? Is the world ready for 40 more weigh-ins, I guess is what I'm asking.
A lot of my family, second generation, are going to be in the industry, and are going to. My daughter is interning at my company this summer, so she's definitely going to be a writer, producer, actress. And my son, he plays basketball, so after he realizes he got flat feet, he'll probably go into comedy.
And your nephew's on New Girl.
My nephew's on New Girl. My other nephew is probably going to be writing on my TV show, Marlon. My other nephew is a director. This is a lot, you know. My brother's kids, Damon's kids, are all working. So, you know, the key is to keep them working. And this way
it's
they stay out
business,
of your pocket.
Man.
Yeah.
So they stay out of your
family
pocket.
Business, so you get your own business. Get out of my pocket. Stop waiting on me to die. I'm going to be here a long time.
Marlon Wayans, this weekend, Irvine Improv. Tickets on sale now for all five shows at improv.com. And then 2 weeks after that, Levity Live in Oxnard, the grand opening of a new club. That's levitylive.com. Marlon, it's always a pleasure to have you in, sir. Thanks for stopping
by. Thank you, guys. Follow me on Instagram, at Marlon Wayans. If you are listening to this show right now, hit me on Twitter, at Marlon Wayans. I'm going to retweet you. That's my way of saying good morning, what's up, and keep listening to K-Rock. Lastly, Instagram, at Marlon Wayans. Snapchat, Marlon L. Wayans. And Facebook fan page, Marlon Wayans. Thank you guys for your time. Peace and love. I'll see y'all this weekend. Hey, and all lives matter, but black lives matter. Let's get this world in order right now. It's really heavy on my heart, the things that's happening in the news. And I think our country's being divided, and I think we just need to all come together, change the legislation, and just make it fair for everybody. All the brothers, I don't know how many are listening to K-Rock right now.
12.
All three brothers,
between
listen.
3 and 12.
shooting cops ain't going to help. Let's all come together and find a peaceful solution. Peace and
amen,
love.
Marlon. Thank you, sir.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Our friend Jim Rome talks sports coming up right after the top of the hour. John Leguizamo next hour as well. First, Ralph's here with the show. Good morning, Ralph.
I've tried desperately to stay above the Pokemon Go fray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've tried.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said, okay, just let people have their fun. Enough. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take a stand on this. I'll just ignore it. Just hold your breath. It'll go away. It's like when you're dealing with a shark. You don't want to make a lot of movement in
right.
the water, because then you look like an injured seal.
They'll attack.
And the shark will attack.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna stay calm, and eventually the Pokemon Go will go away. Pokemon Go away.
It's only been around a week. You know?
Enough. Enough already. First, people.
First. What's happening, Ralph?
I'm just saying, if you're over 8 and you're running around playing this, F yourself.
We took calls yesterday from people who've been injured, had problems at work, playing Pokemon Go.
Well, you know, the Holocaust Museum is asking mm-hmm. people, please don't run around our museum catching Pokemon.
I feel like that's a valid request.
I think so, too. And now, the Midwest Memorial Group is respectfully asking people to no longer go to Rosa Parks' grave at Woodland Cemetery in Detroit trying to catch Pokemon. Rosa Parks, legendary civil rights activist Rosa Parks, her grave apparently is being trampled on because people are running around the cemetery trying to catch Pikachu.
Pikachu is there?
In the game, Kevin.
They're saying
one of the characters you can
Woodlawn
catch.
Cemetery is saying it is very disruptive and the civil rights legend has a right to rest in peace. And to make things worse, besides Rosa Parks' grave, people at Woodlawn saying players have popped up during funeral services.
Oh, no.
Which is disruptive, to say the least.
Oh,
regarding
no.
Regarding the grieving mourners and families of the deceased. So they're saying, could you do your asinine BS not here, is what they're saying in a much more respectful tone than I'm using.
Yesterday was the first time I saw on the news a business making the request of Nintendo to remove their location as a spot where people could catch characters because it was just becoming so disruptive in terms of traffic and people and everything. They just didn't want people coming to their place anymore.
But I don't know how this game works, but do you know where they are? Aren't you looking everywhere you go for them?
That's a Dave question.
That is a Dave question.
I mean, they don't say go here. You just take it out wherever you are and you look for them, right?
Yes.
So even if you take your
GPS.
If they take your location off the game, it doesn't mean that people who don't know where they are won't still be looking for them when they're at your business, right?
That's possible, yeah. I don't know how it works exactly.
Well, here's how it works exactly. Napalm. That's how it works.
Wow.
I don't think that's how it works now.
Catch a Pokemon, go to jail. That's the platform. That's a new plank in my platform.
But I guess my question, again, and maybe we need an expert on, Ralph, would be when the people made this game, did they intentionally put characters at the Holocaust Museum in Rosa Parks' grave? Or do they just automatically populate by some sort of algorithm and they can't control where they are?
Anywhere a GPS can register, I think they just put stuff out there. So no matter where you are, if you're playing the game, you'll find something.
And so I feel like big landmarks, too, they're going to put them there because they assume a lot of people are going to be there.
Right. So fill up the Holocaust Museum, yeah. You're saying.
Disgusting.
That's what they're thinking.
No, it's disgusting. And I think people really need to get it together.
Right. That is my this hot new, take. This new, this get it together people.
Get it together people.
Yes.
And this new character, a Pokey Jew. I think that's really out of line.
I don't believe
that's out of line.
I don't think that's happening.
Positive, that's an accurate.
To have the Holocaust Museum when you're looking around.
I don't think that's happening. A character.
We took a call yesterday from someone who works security, I think, at Disneyland, Ralph, and says, you know, the game, again, had only been out a few days at this point and said that it is already causing colossal trouble at Disneyland because there are hundreds of people just walking around looking at their phones and running into everybody.
Time to arm the guards at Disneyland is what we're saying, right? That's what we're saying. If you're playing, then you get a warning shot. One.
Okay.
And then it's game on. Let's start a game that hunts Pokemon Go users.
I'm not positive that's what we need.
Where's that app? Let me track down the Pokemon Go users, and I have...
Just walk outside. You'll
and
see.
And I've got a slingshot.
You'll see plenty.
And some BBs. And they're pink. Ow! What the hell? Stop playing that! You just get right in the back of the head. You get a BB. That'll wake you up. That'll get it together, people. In the words of a famous lady. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jane Lynch is 56 years old today. Kyle Gass of Tenacious D turns 56 as well. Jackie Earl Haley started off as a child star, child actor, Bad News Bears, etc., etc. And now he's a big-time showbizy guy again. Rorschach, of course, from The Watchmen. Remember that show you and I watched, Kevin, that no one else watched? The Human Target?
Yes.
Remember Human Target?
Yeah, I love that.
He's great on that.
Yep.
55 years old today.
Wait, was he Kelly?
He was.
The Bad News Bears?
He was.
Oh, he was so hot back then. His motorcycle just right onto the field. Okay.
Back to you. Get it together, Allie.
Get it together, people.
Right.
Matthew Fox is 50 years old today. Scott Porter is 37. Dan Reynolds, 29 years old. And Conor McGregor of UFC turns 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show up as beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Most Thursdays on the Kevin and Bean Show right about this time, unless he has important horse duties to attend to. Our friend Jim Rome from the Jim Rome Show joins us. How are you, sir?
Dudes, it's not about the horse. It's about the fact that you guys get like 8 weeks of vacation in the middle of summer. Welcome back.
Yeah, blame it on us. Well, we missed you, Jim. There's been so much going on in sports that we have been eager to get your input on. I don't know where you want to start today, but why don't we let's start just real quick with the UFC because we didn't get a chance to talk to you after UFC 200. Kevin thought it was the most boring pay-per-view he'd ever seen. What were your thoughts?
Good attitude, Kev.
It was terrible.
You know, it wasn't terrible. I thought... I come out of it like this. It was supposed to be the greatest event ever, and it wasn't that. It wasn't close to that, but it's somebody who threw down money. Like everybody else, I scratched the check. I got down. I feel like I got my money's worth. It wasn't as good as it should have been, but considering what they were dealing with and the fact that Jon Jones went bonehead right before it, I thought there were some moments and there were some pretty good fights. I don't feel like I got ripped off, but no, it did not live up to the hype. I actually feel badly for Daniel Cormier.
Oh, we do too.
Yeah,
we
do
too.
That is one of the really, really good dudes in the sport, and he hates Jon Jones's guts. He hates what he represents. The guy wanted so badly to finally fight him one more time, and at the last second, Jones goes Jones, and Cormier gets that rip from him. And then still, he goes good guy. He shows up. He fights Anderson Silva. They boo him the whole fight, so that's a really good dude who deserves better.
I felt terrible for him getting booed. I mean, he was making a strategic decision that worked to help him win the fight.
Yeah,
but
you can't lose that fight just
because the crowd wants you to trade blows. You just can't lose it.
Exactly right. I mean, he had to be sitting there thinking to himself, do I give the fans what they want and stand right in front of one of the best fighters ever and risk getting knocked out, or do I do what I know is going to work, and that's take the thing to the ground and wrestle because I'm a former Olympic wrestler and then beat this guy and try and ground and pound? I mean, he did absolutely the right thing. If you're booing going, hey, your money, your ticket, but your problem is not with that guy, it's with Jones.
And he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars in salary that night because of stupid Jones, too. And that's another reason to feel bad for DC.
Yeah, about a half a mil, by the way. About a half a mil. And again, I'm not going to say the money doesn't matter, but there was something about this. I've never seen a guy who was more obsessed with fighting one guy than Cormier was Jones. I mean, he hates that guy that much. The guy, how about this? When we found out that he had had their allegations of PED use, the first thing Cormier says when Dana White tells him is, can I sign a waiver? Can I
sign a waiver? I'll fight him anyway.
I'll fight a guy anyway who's the best fighter ever, and he's roided out of his mind, but I hate him that much. I'll fight him anyway. Just let me sign something, Dana. Crazy.
All right. New topic. Also, since we last spoke, the great Tim Duncan, an all-time NBA great, finally announced his retirement. He's 60 or something, right? I think, Jim, if I remember.
He's like 60 or
he's
something.
He's like 60.
And such a different dude. The thing I love about this guy, you know, some Hall of Famers, before the season, they make the announcement, this is my final year. Then they take that long victory lap. They make it about themselves every single night. It's the ultimate look at me deal for months. This guy announces his retirement. No, wait. The team announced his retirement.
He didn't even show up.
He didn't even show up for his own presser.
Bless him. So awesome.
So Popovich has to do it for him. And this guy's going out the way he came in. 19 years, guys, in the NBA. And I can't think of one thing the guy ever said. Not one thing. Oh, wait. No. There was one thing. When he called David Stern's dress code, retarded. Very regrettable choice of words, but at least it was something.
Right. The hot take this week has been, how does he rank compared to the all-time greats? I've seen several people on my television saying they'd rather have had him throughout the years than Kobe. Your thoughts?
I can make that argument. Honestly, I can make that argument. These guys are very, very close. But Tim Duncan is the best power forward ever. He's a top 10 player ever. He's got the same rings that Kobe has. He's got one more MVP award. But the thing most of all is the consistency. 17 years with 50 wins or more for that team. And the only year that they didn't win 50 was the year that he didn't play. I mean, even Kobe didn't have that kind of consistency. So different guys. But if you want to match their careers side by side, I'd give Duncan a slight edge.
Talking Jim Rome right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's move on. Tom Brady says he may take the case all the way to the Supreme Court. Believe it or not, kids, Deflategate is still a thing.
That's me laughing.
Yeah.
Hey, Allie, how about that? He's now down to his final move, the Supreme Court, because the highest court in the land wants to hear whether or not Tommy lets some air out of a football. Sure it doesn't. You know what that means, Allie? The Supreme Court shuts him down. The national nightmare that is Deflategate is finally over once and for all, and Tom Boy serves his four games.
If this was really about Tom Brady and this was really about footballs, that would matter. It's not. It's no longer about that. It's about Goodell wielding this power that stupid union gave him. They have nobody to blame but themselves. All you NFL players are idiots.
You know what? Honestly, I would love to say, you know, Allie, that's really not right. But you know, Allie, that's pretty much right.
That's a really
big part of it. But, you know, for the rest of us, good. The thing's going to be done. It's finally over.
That's my thing. Look.
They're not going to listen to this. No. The Supreme Court. It really is going to make time for this. They're not. It's done. Take a seat, Tom. We'll see you in a month.
I just want it to be over. That's my thing.
But
he would be
the most handsome petitioner in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court, though, if it happened.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
All agree on that. Final story.
Unless Sanchez shows up at the Supreme Court.
Final story, Jim.
Go Ducks.
I thought it was an absolute embarrassment ahead of the All-Star game Tuesday night when that guy singing for the Tenors, singing the Canadian National Anthem, went rogue and decided to change the lyrics to make a political statement. You don't support that, do you?
Oh, yes, I do. That was awesome. Moron. And for those who did not see this, and by the way, it wasn't shown on U.S. television, so maybe you did not see it. It was four dudes going a cappella with Canada's national anthem, and then they decided to get all political with it and switch it up lyrically. Alvy?
We're all brothers and sisters. All lives matter to the grave.
Wait, what? Did I just catch an All Lives Matter insertion into that song?
Yeah.
I've heard that anthem thousands of times. I've never heard that.
Isn't it funny that there's still anyone anywhere that thinks it's a good idea to change the words to a national anthem?
It's insane.
It's incredible, really. It's insane, is right. I'm not saying that you can't make a political statement, but time and place, bro.
Right.
And singing the national anthem at the All-Star Game is neither. And, guys, don't forget this. The best part. Come to find out this kook is a flat earth truther.
Oh,
right?
And he posted a photo with the caption online, and I quote, "The sun in front of clouds. It is impossible for the sun to be 93 million miles away and yet be stuck in between clouds." Things that make you go,
"Hmm." I'm starting to like him.
Right. No, actually, things that make you go, "Shut your mouth, kook." I'm not a rocket scientist, but I'm pretty sure the earth is not flat and the sun is 93 million miles away.
Hey, man, do the research. He tells you, don't just believe what the media feeds you, Jim. Do the research yourself, man.
Yeah, I got something to say to him. Stop murdering the national anthem and beat it, dope. You don't change the words to the national anthem.
Nine
Do not
to
put
noon.
Your spin on the anthem, man. Just sing it and get the hell off the field.
Nine
Flat
to
Earth truther.
Every weekday, don't want to miss the Jim Rome Show. JimRome.com. Great to have you back, sir. We'll do it again next time.
You guys are awesome. See ya.
Thank you, man. All right. Your call's next. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Any topic is fine. You want to talk about Deflategate? We have very little attention span for that. But anything else, TV shows, sports, anything local, anything in your life, any questions, we'll take your calls. The phones are open, 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that next.
106.7 K-Rock is...
Oh, come on.
How's that candy bar?
This is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show.
Come on, Hall of Fame. What are you doing?
826.
1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
Actor John Leguizamo from the new film The Infiltrator joins us right after this. But first, let's go to Irvine, line 4. Let Alejandro get us going here on the Kevin and Bean What's Good. Hey, Alejandro.
Hey, how's it going?
What's good?
It's going pretty good. Just want to talk about the new app that came out a little bit ago. It's got a title called Pokemon Go.
What? What is it called?
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, we have.
So it's changed my life.
It's,
quite a bit.
Did you say it changed your life?
Yeah, it has.
By?
Well, it's gotten me out of bad habits.
Like?
It certainly has turned you into a sparkling conversationalist. I know that.
Yeah, I used to be a compulsive gambler like two, 3 years ago. Up until it came out, I would go to casinos probably every day after work, maybe drop $200, $300 a day, and I haven't gone since it came out. I've saved money. I've hung out with my friends more.
You know what I was thinking? That the phone's ringing.
So we've got to take another call. But thank you. I'm glad that your life has improved so much. Let's try line 3, please. This could be Jonathan. He's up in L.A.
Jonathan.
You guys are mean.
Jonathan, are you there? Hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, what's good?
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, because it's actually my first time going to Vegas this weekend.
No kidding.
I'm going for, you guys might make fun of me for this, but I'm going for a video game tournament that's happening there this weekend.
Which video game?
It's fighting games, like Street Fighter V and Killer Instinct, all that stuff.
Is it like the World Championships or something?
There's people from around the world, Japan, Korea, Taiwan, all those places, they go there just once every year.
Okay, and what can we do for you?
I wanted to know if you guys know any good places to hit up, like, at night.
I can handle this one if you guys, I mean, I think this is really, I think it's being directed toward me.
I think Bean will be a good choice to help.
Yeah,
sure.
Bean's great. Go ahead.
If you're going to Las Vegas and it's your first time, you're 23 years old, you've really, really got to do it up big, and you got to see the Hoover Dam. I mean, it's like 45 minutes outside of Las Vegas, but you get together with some people and rent a van and head out and watch the dam work. That's my advice.
Or you can go to a strip club and meet a stripper named Hoover Dam. Either way.
Either way, it's a win.
Yeah.
I think Allie's is a little bit better, man.
Yeah, right. It's definitely better.
Good luck if you're
Kevin,
competing.
What's your favorite place in Las Vegas?
Well, I mean,
Kevin?
It depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about gambling, there are a lot of different casinos. The World Series of Poker is going on right now at the Rio, if you want to go to that. But he's talking about a convention or a championship for video games. I don't really know what to...
Go get a buffet at the Sapphire.
Go to the gun show.
Go to the good. Olympic first Gardens. All, check out Spearmint Rhino. Just do it up, Jonathan.
Go to those and then go to the gun store, the gun shop. I forget what it is, but you can shoot all types of guns. It's a shooting range, and it's awesome. And that's fun.
Okay. And the okay, Wayne then. Newton House Tour.
And the Wayne Newton House Tour as well.
All right.
Good luck. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Claremont, line 7. This is going to be Frank up next on Kevin Beans. What's good? Hey, Frank.
Hey. I've never been on the show. This is my first time. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Well, as you were talking about the All-Star game, even though this is not about the national anthem, Big Poppy just played his very last game.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know your guys' thoughts on his career.
He had a phenomenal career, and he's the slowest runner in the history of baseball. And that has been measured, and that has been proven. Right, Allie?
He's not fast, but
he's
he
the
doesn't
slowest
have to be. He
runner in the history of baseball.
Because they tend to be home runs, so he can just jog it out.
Is that true, Bean?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes, he has actually been timed. They have compared him to all other home run hitters in the history of the game, and he is the slowest. Look, he's very likable and personable and popular, but he played, I mean, he's 40, right? Or something like that, Allie, isn't he?
Yeah.
Is he close to 40? I mean, look, every athlete eventually runs out of time, and he's done, but he will forever be beloved for all the years he played as a Boston Red Sox. Are you sad to see him go, or happy, or what?
Well, I just want to know, because with a guy with that many home runs he hit, so much popularity, when he MVP just recently in 2013, mm-hmm. He had to have a big send-off in his last game, and so... I just wanted to know about you guys, because you have mixed relations on everything.
No, not at all. He's beloved, and he won 2 World Series with the Red Sox. I mean, he's going to be missed. He's a great guy.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Baseball?
Still baseball, yes. It's still baseball.
Okay. All right.
He's beloved, though. He's beloved in the city of Boston. He's beloved in the Dominican Republic. He's, by all accounts, a genuinely good guy. He's done a lot for the city. He will be missed.
And he is, of course, known as Big Poppy, which is funny in your house. Why, Allie?
Because my mother, for the love of God, cannot stop calling him Big Puppy.
Really?
She will call me and be like, he home it again. Big Puppy's at it again. I'm like, oh, for the love. It's amazing.
All right, Frank. Thank you for calling, sir. John Leguizamo joins us next on the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock.
What's good?
Kevin, I know how you feel about people who are accomplished, who feel like they're doing too many things. I think that's going to be the case with John Leguizamo. Of course, very popular Emmy Award-winning actor and comedian and playwright. He's so busy right now with Bloodline on Netflix, with the Ice Age movies, and with a new film opening up this weekend called The Infiltrator. Let's welcome back John Leguizamo to the Kevin Beach Show on K-Rock. How are you, sir?
Hey guys. Long time no speak.
Been a while. We were trying to remember the last time we had you on, and we couldn't place it, but it's been far too long, man.
Yeah, I think it was about two years, maybe, for Chef or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, it might have been. Well, you've been busy, as I mentioned. I mean, you're juggling. I feel like you're juggling more now than at any time in your 30-plus year career. Does it feel busy to you, John?
Oh, it's busy right now, but it wasn't supposed to be like that because Bloodline, I mean, Infiltrator was shot like a year and a half ago. And you know, I've been working on Ice Age, for the last 3 years? It takes 3 years to do each movie.
Mm-hmm.
They just coincidentally all came out at the same time, which is really odd.
This Infiltrator, we've already seen and loved. And
thank you.
I have so many questions for you, but why don't we start with just talking about Bryan Cranston being a miracle to watch on screen?
He's incredible, man. And not only is he a great actor, he's also a great human being. We had so much fun with that guy. It was a set piece where we're doing the wedding thing, and the crew is getting kind of restless because we had to do so many takes. So he takes the veil off the bride, puts it on himself, he grabs me, he has the priest marry us. Silly, ridiculous ceremony. So now I'm married to him off camera.
Congratulations. You two make a lovely couple.
Are you registered anywhere? Do we need to send something?
I'll take all the money.
Okay.
You know what's cool about him, though, is that he's that cool to everybody. I saw him at the Jimmy Kimmel taping one time, and he found himself, unfortunately, talking to me. But he doesn't come across as, I'm Bryan Cranston and I'm a great star. He comes across as just a dude.
Just a regular smart dude. Yeah. You know, we had a lot of scenes that we questioned, we debated, and he's just really smart. Like his gamemanship is so great, man. There's a scene where I'm in my yard, and Bryan comes to yell at me, and I had to seize the opportunity, so I yelled back at him. I know it wasn't scripted, so he started yelling back at me even louder. So I yelled even louder at him, and then he topped me and beat me. But we were exhausted. But I don't know. I thought this scene was electric.
John, let me tell you, I'm so glad you brought up that scene because I actually pulled that from the movie because I wanted to find a scene of you two working together. Now, we should set this up because The Infiltrator is you and Bryan are both working in law enforcement, going undercover, trying to bring down the drug cartel back in the 1980s. Based on a true story, you guys are playing true characters. Here's the scene where he is ticked off at something that went wrong in the case that you guys are trying to build.
Bro, what do I have to do to make you happy, man?
Just don't get me killed.
Oh, wait a minute. I gotta write that down. That's brilliant. Don't get Bob killed.
It's the little things that get you whacked. Do you understand that? Why I plan. And so when your snitch pulls a gun on me, a gun that he's not supposed to have,
okay,
I start to wonder, is Amir on my side? Is he with me or not?
Man, you never got to question if I'm on your side or not, because I'm always on your f***ing side.
Do you have my back?
I got your back, man. Do you have my f***ing back?
I am the one who knocks.
That's all I kept thinking.
Where's the driving, man?
I got to tell you, his character, though, going undercover, he's got a wife, he's got a family. It seems like that job is built for your character, a single guy that has that adrenaline rush kind of fix, and you love it. But for him, he's scared.
And I got to tell you, the guy who plays me, I mean, the guy I play for real, the Amir that I met, he did enjoy his job a lot. He had a lot of fine ladies that they would go undercover with him. And he had a good time. But, you know, your life is, it's always, you know, in danger. I mean, I don't need that kind of excitement.
No. I mean, like they say in the movie, you know, one slip up and you literally, that's all it takes. And you see that happen to other people in the movie who run afoul of the gang that they're in with, is you can literally just be killed at any time for saying or doing the wrong thing. And these are government employees who are just making a civil service salary. It's amazing.
Right, but dude, it was a time where all the drug dealers were on coke. So they're hyper paranoid.
Right.
They're killing everybody left and right because they're on coke, man. They think everybody's out to get them. They're all paranoid on coke.
That seems like a bad business model.
Well, I will tell you that it's bizarre the number of levels that you have to get through. This guy could kill all of you, but his boss or brother could kill all of you, but his boss could kill all of you. And there's only one scene where Pablo Escobar sort of scoots through the hotel without you guys seeing him even.
I know. I'm so glad because I didn't really want to see another Pablo Escobar movie right away. I like this one because this is more about the greed that can happen, the temptation that can happen, because this is more about the biggest bank bust in American history of American banks that were money laundering, thinking they, you know, because it was $400, $500 million a year, and they were like, we need to get a little taste of that, but no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I can see how you would feel like, hey, I'm bringing hundreds of million dollars into this into the government from this case, and I'm getting $50,000 a year, or probably less than that back in the 1980s, I would think. It just doesn't seem fair, does it, John?
I don't know. I'm a moral kind of guy. You know, my salary is my salary. I'm okay with that.
Talking to John Leguizamo, the film is called
I'm lying.
The Infiltrator. It's in theaters now. We mentioned Bryan Cranston. The great Diane Kruger is in this movie. Amy Ryan, Olympia Dukakis, I mean, what a phenomenal cast.
I love how excited you are talking about a movie you shot years ago and is finally coming out.
I was really proud of the flick. I mean, yeah. I felt everybody was doing spectacular work. I loved everybody. The director, Brad Furman, is a genius. It's, you know, you don't get those opportunities to really do great acting. I mean, they just don't, they're far few between, the very few movies for adults anymore, you know?
I loved how it sort of turned at the end. I didn't see this coming because everybody undercover is trying to make the big bust, but you all sort of got to know the bad guys, who we all just think drug dealers are all bad. You got to know their families and their kids, and Brian's character especially started feeling really horrible that they were going to get arrested at that wedding.
Yeah, well, you know, when I was doing the research, I was talking a lot to Bob Mazur, that's Brian's character that he plays, and he said that was the most difficult thing about his job, was that he really got to know these people, he partied with them, he was dining with their family and their kids, and it got weird, you know, he really got close to them, and they became human beings to him, and then he had to betray them, and he said it was a very conflicting feeling.
Very understandable. Well, it's a terrific movie, you guys. The Infiltrator is the name of it. It's out now. And when, I know people will want to know because they love Bloodline so much, when will the next season come out? You guys just got renewed for another season, right?
Right. We just got renewed. We start shooting October.
All right.
So I would say probably June of next year.
I'd like you to move that timeline up.
And will you still
okay,
be...
I will. I'm going to make a few calls.
Okay, thank you.
Will you still be violating lollipops like you do?
I'm going to try to violate as many lollipops and other sorts of candy if I can.
Amen.
That is a very creepy sentence, John. All right, sir. Thanks so much for popping back on. We appreciate talking to you. Good luck to you.
Great, man. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, John. 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Yeah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Not just with another showbiz beat, but a very important showbiz beat. Ralph, what's the latest? What's going on?
Well, first, I have some tickets to give away.
What's going on down there at the end of the table, Ralph?
What's Omar doing down there? I got a pair of tickets to the premiere of Lights Out!
Yay! You're
all going to die tonight.
Five lucky listeners will win a pair of passes to the premiere of Lights Out of the TCL Chinese Theater on July 19th. You've seen the commercials and the trailer for this. It looks
terrifying.
Awesome.
It looks so good.
There's a spindly-legged creature that just hates the light.
Turn on the light, it goes away. Turn off the light, it's right there.
Yep.
Pretty sweet.
Very, very Taylor Swift-esque. Just all spindly legs and just terrifying. Calvin Harris flipping the light on and off, trying to protect himself. Teresa Palmer, Maria Bello, great cast. It looks really just terrifying. What's more terrifying than the fear of the dark? Really, when you think about it. It's a thing, it's a universal, right? Creepy things happening that you can't see when the lights are out. That is a universal fear. This is a genius film. If you'd like to see the premiere of Lights Out, give us a call now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through, you get a pair of passes to attend the premiere. And if you don't win, Lights Out opens in theaters everywhere on July 22nd. So you can check it out then. This morning, just moments ago, well, not moments ago, about a half an hour ago,
Ralph,
you want to start
take
over?
Us from the top.
The Primetime Emmy Awards were announced. The best in television. Some fascinating inclusions and exclusions this year.
Are we outraged? Just let me know if I should be angry.
There's some outrage.
All right.
But there's also some enrage.
Oh, is that a good thing? I love enrage.
It's the opposite of outrage.
Okay. All right.
Let's start off with reality show. Competition reality show. The Voice won last year. It's nominated again. Along with Top Chef, Project Runway. Make it work. Whatever that guy says. Dancing with the Stars, American Ninja Warriors, and the almost perennial winner, Amazing Race, in the competition this year. Remember what
No Survivor.
No. Remember what a big deal it was last year when The Voice won and Amazing Race didn't? And I was like, what? Phil Cogan got up and flipped the bird to Carson Daly. Remember
I don't
that?
Think oh, that happened.
That was amazing.
I don't think that's how it went.
Outstanding limited series, American Crime. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Fargo.
So good.
Which
so
was
good.
Awesome. People versus O.J. Simpson.
Winner.
Roots. And here's your winner, The Night Manager.
Ooh, Night Manager. That was good, too.
That's a loaded category.
Yeah, that's some good stuff. Best lead actress in a comedy, Ellie Kemper for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Alive, damn it. It's the theme song.
Okay, Tourette's?
Yep.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep.
Winner.
winner.
Laurie Metcalf for Getting On. Tracy Ellis Ross for Black-ish. Amy Schumer for Inside Amy Schumer. And Lily Tomlin for Grace and Frankie. Lead actress in a drama, Claire Danes for Homeland. Viola Davis for How to Get Away with Murder. Taraji P. Henson for Empire. Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black. Kerry Russell for Americans. And Robin Wright for House of Cards.
Wow, what a category.
Lead actor in a comedy, Anthony Anderson for Black-ish. Aziz Ansari for Masters of None. Will Forte, The Last Man on Earth. William H. Macy for Shameless. Thomas Middleditch for Silicon Valley. And Jeffrey Tambor for Transparent. No big
Veep guys.
Well, there's no real lead actor in Veep. I can see why. They show up in the supporting actor category, but not in the lead actor comedy. I mean, who's the male lead of Veep?
Gary. Right?
No. Tony Hale did get a nomination for supporting actor in the comedy, however, for that performance. So, but a lot of streaming shows and, you know, cable shows. Not a lot of mainstream, except for Black-ish and Last Man on Earth. No big network shows in comedy, which is usually where they show up. Lead actor in a drama, Kyle Chandler for Bloodlines. Rami Malek for Mr. Robot. Bob Odenkirk for Better Call Saul. Jonathan Reese for Americans. Liev Schreiber for Ray Donovan. And Kevin Spacey for House of Cards. I was stunned. No Damian Lewis and no Paul Giamatti either for either of the Billions.
Yeah.
Got ignored. Best Outstanding Comedy, Black-ish, Master of None, Modern Family, Silicon Valley, Transparent, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Veep, and Outstanding Drama, The Americans, Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, and Mr. Robot. No Ray Donovan.
I'm glad Mr. Robot's in there.
Yeah, but no.
Ray Donovan.
No Ray
is
Donovan.
What he just said,
I heard
which
that.
Is a travesty.
It's insane.
And we should boycott
it's
the
madness.
Emmys.
Madness.
Is what I'm saying.
I don't think
we should
care.
Burn it to the ground.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yes.
In.
Thank you.
I'll light the match. You throw it.
You can.
You throw a match.
I don't think that would do much damage.
I'll light the match. You place it gently on the ground.
Again, probably just go out. The match. That probably match will probably just go out.
Okay.
We'll have to work on a better burning down system. We'll get back to you on that. You can find all the nominations at Emmy.com if you want to check it out, or it's on the internet in a bunch of places.
Jimmy's hosting the show this year, too.
Yes, he is.
Oh.
He also got nominated for Best Talk Show, along with other people that are good.
Well done, James.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Jane Lynch is 56 years old today. Tenacious D's Kyle Gass is also 56. Jackie Earle Haley, 55. Matthew Fox turns 50. Actor Scott Porter is 37 years old. Dan Reynolds of Imagine Dragons is 29. And Conor McGregor celebrates his 28th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our old friend Adam Carolla is on the phone. You can see him next Friday night, July 22nd, at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. Tickets available at adamcarolla.com. And, Kevin, I don't know if you know about this or not, the Carolla Cruise has been announced.
Oh, a cruise with Adam Carolla yelling at you.
The Carolla Cruise. You got to really love Adam Carolla to want to get on a boat with no exit strategy to get around the Ace Man. Adam, what's going on, buddy?
I don't know why. I always laugh when I think about Thousand Oaks because you just brought it up. But if anyone who's listening who lives in Thousand Oaks should get on the freeway and head toward Palm Springs and stop off at 29 Palms and just find some locals and go, what do you got? I'm from Thousand Oaks. And they go, I'm from 29 Palms. And you go, just 29, huh? Couldn't make it to 30? Because we got 1,000 Oaks. As a matter of fact, we were just rounding down. We just stopped counting at a certain point.
That's a long way to go for a burn.
Just 29, huh? Really? I'll tell you what, I'm feeling generous. I'll bring a palm tree over next time I'm out here. Get you to 30.
So it's a,
we
it's
got 1,000.
It's a tree smackdown that you have to drive 150 miles to deliver.
Yeah, you don't have to be an arborist to enjoy it. I say that.
But it helps.
But it helps. All right, Adam.
Oh, yeah, it helps.
Seriously, there's a Carolla Cruise December 9th through 12th, and I understand from Mike August that you have just 10 staterooms left. So they're on sale right now through AdamCarolla.com. How many staterooms are there for people who have bought on this boat?
There are 11 and a half.
Okay,
so
all right.
have not been selling as briskly. No, I don't know. I guess like half of them are staterooms, and they're all sold out. And you know, the last cruise I went on is with Jimmy Kimmel and his wife.
Wow, that's an odd coupling.
Yes. The many years, like 15 years. I mean, we're both probably still on the Kevin and Bean show when we took this cruise, and I swore I'd never cruise again. Because it's a weird thing. The first night we went out to dinner, they always just sit at a big table and everyone just eats together. And I said, hey, could I have some balsamic vinegar? And the guy said, yeah, we don't have any balsamic vinegar. And I thought, when you're at a restaurant, you're out of balsamic vinegar, you just go, I'll get some tomorrow.
Right. But
trapped at sea with no balsamic vinegar.
Yeah. It seems like a bad plan, even if it's the Adam Carolla cruise.
Well, I'm telling you, we're doing live podcasts. We've got all kinds of events going on. And I am one of these dudes who loves hanging out with my fans because I have great fans. And they're really, what they are, is they're good drunks.
Good drunks, you know? Okay.
All right.
Yeah, they're not the ones that get out of control and go, hey man, come on, let's go punch this cop's horse. They just want to get drunker. So you don't have to yell, dude, maintain at that.
All right, so this is a 3-night cruise that features a live Adam Carolla podcast, a screening of Adam's film Road Hard, hosted by Adam. You got Mangria on board, you got your new IPA Endless Rant on board, and you're going from where to where, Adam?
We're going from, I think, like Long Beach to Ensenada.
Oh, so nice. Okay.
We're going into Old Mexico. We're going to have some fun. And I have many stories I could tell you about Revolution Street in Tijuana. But we're going to sail past that.
Okay. That's probably a good choice.
Now, do you run into people like Kevin, for instance, who just, I mean, you couldn't hate cruises anymore, right, Kevin?
No. I find it, what Adam was saying is you're trapped. Mm-hmm. And you're trapped for however long that cruise is. We did this radio station, K-Rock, did a Christmas party on a cruise once. And Bean and I lined up listeners with little boats to follow us around in case we needed to get off. Just in case, because if you're stuck on a cruise and it sucks or people start getting sick or something, I mean, I'm not trying to talk bad about your cruise. Cruises in general, I'm not really down with.
Right.
Well, the remember when we did the Kevin and Bean singles party in Catalina?
I do remember that. Yeah.
I got stuck even for the 2-hour ride to Catalina. I got stuck next to some douchebag fan who was talking my ear off of that building. So maybe you're right.
Cruise is canceled.
Let's just refund the money to the people that bought the staterooms and called a life.
I think it's going to be a great time, Adam. Look, you've got millions of fans around the world who love your podcast, who go to your live shows. What better opportunity than to do all things Carolla for 3.5 whole days? I mean, like you said, you know, with the podcast and with the movie and with the Mangria and everything, I think it's gonna be a great time for the. What are your fans called? Are they called Ace Heads or what? Do they have a name?
No, just douchebags.
Douchebags. Okay.
Yep. And I'm gonna walk around in a bathrobe with a boner the entire time.
I like it.
Perfect. Sounds
That's
great.
The promise I can make to my fans.
All right. The Carolla cruise is on sale now, but as you heard, tickets are going fast. AdamCarolla.com for all the details. And while you're there, pick up tickets to see the Ace Man on stage a week from tomorrow night at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. That sounds like fun as well. Adam, great to catch up with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Love you.
Thank you, man.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:36.
I was planning on going to the Hot Topic location in Brea at the Brea Mall today from 1 to 3, but I couldn't think of any reason to do that, and I was wondering, Beer Mug, if you could help me with that.
I can, Bean, and today is your final day to visit me at Hot Topic, along with the promotions crew. We're going to be at the Brea Mall at 1065 Brea Mall. In Brea, we got 21 Pilots tickets, Blink 182 tickets, Young the Giant tickets, a $106.70 Hot Topic gift card, tons of prizes, and today is the last day to get your K-Rock sticker to win the 2016 Honda Civic and the private performance from 21 Pilots.
Well done. Ladies and gentlemen, Beer Mug today, Hot Topic in Brea, 1 to 3. Ralph is here now, time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday. What's going on?
Never mind, I was playing a little sound over here, but it was not turned up, so it didn't really matter until the very end. Then it was turned up, and then it made no sense. That's on me. Oh, that's my bad, though. That's on me. Oh, wait a minute.
Good, no, because it was my fault.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I'm glad it's on you.
Everyone's talking about the Emmy Awards. Nominations were announced this morning at 8:30, and there were some surprises. Some people are upset that some people got snubbed. All the usual reactions to this kind of thing. But I'm going to go over the major categories for you, so you have an idea who was nominated for what. Outstanding lead actor in a comedy series, Anthony Anderson for his work on Blackish, Will Forte for Last Man on Earth, Aziz Ansari for Master of None. Anybody watching Master of None on Netflix? Anybody?
I haven't watched it.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Ali did not care for it.
I didn't love it.
Shameless, William H. Macy for his work in that show, and Thomas Middleditch as Richard on Silicon Valley, Jeffrey Tambor from Transparent. Just give it to him now. We can save ourselves 15 minutes out of the actual broadcast. Lead actor in a drama series, Matthew Rice for The Americans. Better Call Saul's Bob Odenkirk, Kyle Chandler for Bloodline, Kevin Spacey for House of Cards, Rami Malek for Mr. Robot, and Liev Schreiber for Ray Donovan. I won't tell you who my pick is in that.
Yeah,
category.
We can't figure that out.
Yeah, I'm going to keep that to myself. I'm going to play my cards close to the vest. Outstanding lead actress in a comedy series, Tracy Ellis Ross for Blackish, Laurie Metcalf for Getting On, Lily Tomlin, Grace and Frankie, Amy Schumer for Inside, Amy Schumer, Ellie Kemper for Kimmy Schmidt, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus for Veep. Outstanding lead actress in a drama series, Kerry Russell for The Americans, Taraji P. Henson for Empire, Claire Danes for Homeland. Robin Wright, House of Cards, How to Get Away with Murders, Viola Davis, and Tatiana Maslany for Orphan Black.
Somebody please give that lady an Emmy already. Agreed.
Best Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series, Louis Anderson for Baskets.
How about
that?
Right?
Wow.
How cool is that?
That's great. It's a great show.
I love this category, by the way. Everybody in it is very deserving. Andre Brower for Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He's hilarious as Captain Holt on that show. Keegan-Michael Key for Key and Peele.
All right.
Jordan Peele not nominated, by the way. Ouch! Ty Burrell, as always,
sure.
Modern Family. Titus Burgess for Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Tony Hale for Veep. And Matt Walsh also for Veep.
Oh, wow.
How do you pick between those two guys?
Wow.
Outstanding Supporting Actor in a drama series, Jonathan Banks for Better Call Saul. Ben Mendelsohn for Bloodline, Peter Dinklage for Game of Thrones, Kit Harington, Game of Thrones as well, Michael Kelly for House of Cards, and John Voight as Mickey Donovan and Ray Donovan. Well deserved there. Outstanding supporting actress in a comedy series, Niecy Nash for Getting On.
I'm so happy to see my little Getting On show get some recognition, at least in nominations. I love that show, and both of those actresses you named are so great, Ralph.
Allison Janney for Mom.
I like that it's your little show.
Well,
it's my little show.
You know how
I watch it on a tiny little screen in my little room.
That's odd.
You guys know what I mean when you have something that you're protective of because it's not popular, but you love it and you love the opportunity to promote it. That's all. I just feel close to it.
Like Peaky Blinders.
Right, but a good show.
No, like a great show. The best.
Kate McKinnon for Saturday Night Live. Judith Light for Transparent. Gabby Hoffman also for Transparent. And Anna Chomsky. For Veep. Outstanding supporting actress in a drama series, Maura Tierney for The Affair. I've heard good things about that. Never caught any of that, however.
I love it.
Same.
Maggie Smith for Downton Abbey. Lena Headey for Game of Thrones. Emilia Clarke for Game of Thrones as well. Maisie Williams for Game of Thrones. And Constance Zimmer for Unreal over on Lifetime.
Wow.
Which is a show I've heard a lot about but haven't seen. It's sort of a parody of a Bachelor, Bachelorette type reality show.
So how do you parody that?
All right. It's like the behind-the-scenes of the producers and how they put it together. Outstanding comedy series, Blackish, Master of None, Modern Family, Silicon Valley, Transparent, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and Veep. Outstanding drama series, The Americans, Better Call Saul, Downton Abbey, Game of Thrones, Homeland, House of Cards, and Mr. Robot. No Ray Donovan in that lineup. And no Billions, by the way. Man.
You know what else I haven't heard you mention at all this morning, Ralph, is a little show that used to be beloved by the Emmys called Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Seems to be missing from every category.
Yes.
Still no Walking Dead. Back to you.
Great point, Kevin. Still no Walking Dead. How good does the show have to be to get recognized by the Emmys these days?
See? Anger. All right? Awards breeds anger. I've always said that.
I've never heard you say that.
Oh, well, I've said it quietly to myself. Outstanding Variety Talk Series. Thought this was interesting. As a little internet show, but I guess it's the star power behind it. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee nominated.
I like it.
This year's. Jimmy Kimmel Live, our buddy Jimmy Kimmel, who will also be hosting the Emmy ceremony itself. John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. Boy, is that a great show.
That's a great show, too.
The Late Late Show with James Corden, Real Time with Bill Maher, and The Tonight Show starring Jimmy Fallon, your nominees for Best Variety and Talk Series. So, there you go. There's some of the major categories. You can check them all out for yourself at Emmy.com if you want to see more. In movie news, one of my favorite actresses, Alice Eve, has been added to a upcoming sci-fi thriller called Replicas, starring Keanu Reeves. Okay, you got to take the good with the bad in life. Keanu Reeves plays a man whose wife, Alice Eve, dies in a car crash, but then is cloned to allow her to keep living along with her memories and mind intact. I would replicate so many Alice Eves if I could, if that was the case.
Yeah, like 100 of them?
I'd be nads deep in Alice Eve's.
My house, that was available.
There'd be no room in my house. I'd look like an Alice Eve hoarder when you came into my house. You'd have to walk through a little path in between all the nude Alice Eve's in my home, if that was an option. If I could replicate, if I could clone her, why would I clone her while she was still alive? The more, the merrier when it comes to Alice Eve's.
I don't think you can, though, Ralph.
Why, Kevin?
No, it's just, I don't think it's possible yet. Sorry.
But if this is the premise of the film, right. Kevin, where you can clone people,
right,
and they retain their thoughts and memories and mind,
right,
why is he waiting until she's dead to clone her? Why not clone her while she's still alive and get a whole, got a bunch of sister wives, Alice Eves? Huh, Kevin?
And they would all get along.
Of course they would. They'd all be Alice Eve. Who would Alice Eve love more than another Alice Eve?
Why are you yelling?
Because you don't seem to understand me.
I understand.
I'm trying to get through.
Ralph has just come up with the greatest idea ever, and you're just over there poo-pooing it, Kevin.
I don't think you can do that.
She is whom in the Star Trek movie?
She was in the second Star Trek movie, Return to Darkness. Darkness Working Overtime.
Into Darkness. Yeah. She's not. She was not one of the crew on the bridge.
No,
right?
She was Dr. Carol. What's Kirk's girlfriend's name? You know.
Okay.
Hey, anyway, she's the one who strips down to her underwear in that movie. That's all you need to know.
Hey, Bean, you have Google, right?
I do. I just thought I knew Ralph would know off the top.
Dr. Carol.
She's a good deal.
Carol.
She should be cloned.
Dr. Carol is a weird, that's a weird name.
On IMDb, that character from Star Trek Into Darkness is listed as just Carol.
Oh.
But so perhaps there was
the,
no other
It's
thing.
The premise, you know, it's kind of a reboot of the Khan story. But you remember in the original Star Trek where Kirk goes to the planet, the Project Genesis, when they're making the dead planets and the lives, when he runs into an old girlfriend and she's got a son and it turns out to be his son?
In Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, that character was Carol Marcus.
Carol Marcus!
What do I win?
You win all of the coins.
Why do some people tune out?
And in other movie news, Flatliners is being remade. You know Flatliners? Remember
I like that
movie?
Sure.
I like that movie a lot, too. Julia Roberts, a young Julia Roberts, Kiefer Sutherland. I believe that's where they fell in love on the set of that film and then got engaged. And then Julia Roberts said, see ya. That was a heartbreak.
I hope they put a lot of the Alice Eve clones in the new movie.
It's a different film.
Oh.
It's about dying. You know, they flatline you.
Mm-hmm.
And then
they
bring you back. And you're like, hey, what'd you see over there?
Was it fun?
Yeah. So they're making a new one. And Charlotte McKinney has been added to the cast.
All right.
Charlotte McKinney, you may remember her as the girl from the Carl's Jr. commercial. She's walking around the farmer's market nude.
She did great acting in that commercial.
She was great.
Thank you, Allie.
She was great.
We're all fans.
I can only assume in the new version of Flatliners, it's some sort of IQ machine that they're hooking you up to. And then, beep, when you flatline means you ain't got nothing going on. I'm assuming that's how she's being worked into the storyline.
I will not have you besmirch her.
We had her in here.
And she was delightful.
Wow.
I don't know. I didn't listen.
She's also going to be in the upcoming Baywatch movie. Now, see? Now it all falls into place.
Yeah.
Get this week's dog out of here.
Right? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Conor McGregor of your UFC, he is 29 years old. Oops, excuse me, 28 years old. Dan Reynolds from Imagine Dragons, he's 29. Scott Porter, the actor, is 37. Matthew Fox, of course, from Lost fame and Party of Five, he's 50 years old. Jackie Earl Haley, very talented man, 55 years old today, from Watchmen, Human Target, other fine programs. Kyle Gass from Tenacious D is 56 years old today, as is actress Jane Lynch. All those stars born on today, July 14th. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We appreciate that. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat because it's Friday. We have Rob Corddry on the show, one of our favorite guests. We have Patrick Fugit in the studio talking Outkast. And Beer Mug was at the green carpet at the premiere of Ghostbusters and interviewed pretty much everybody. So we've got that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.